Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
By changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Find out where your fish comes from and ride the bus. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News. Take care. Happy Halloween.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's a sprint to the finish for the presidential candidates.
Iowa, I have just two words for you. 4 days.
Barack Obama in Des Moines. Later tonight, he'll be in Indiana. John McCain down in the polls campaigning in Ohio.
America is worth fighting for. Nothing is inevitable. We never give up. We never quit.
Undecided voters could hold the key to the outcome of Tuesday's election. The big question is, what proportion of undecideds form the electorate, and who are they? CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambender.
The McCain campaign says that they're mostly older. They tend to be white. They tend to be without college degrees, and that would give John McCain some edge in them. The Obama campaign, though, points out that most of them are women, and they tend to be very sensitive to economic conditions.
Studs Terkel is dead. Humorist, historian, author, on the occasion of his 95th birthday party, Terkel said it was his own natural curiosity and openness that made him what he was.
People ask, what is your epitaph, Studs? What will be your epitaph? I have to have a simple one. Curiosity did not kill this cat.
Studs Terkel was 96. David Petraeus, the general who commanded U.S. troops in Iraq, is being promoted to head up Central Command.
There can be no higher privilege for any soldier than being allowed to serve once more with such wonderful Americans and to work hard at work worth doing.
A 29-year-old Erie, Pennsylvania woman is going to jail for up to 30 years for repeatedly having sex with an 11-year-old boy. Carrie Dana's defense attorney claimed she was the victim of the boy's obsession with her. Prosecutors argue that Dana regularly had sex with him and only stopped when she thought others had become suspicious. We are responsible for climate change everywhere on the planet.
They found for the first time evidence of climate change due to human activity on every continent. The latest edition, Antarctica, after an analysis of data and computer models from weather stations at both poles. This follows a compelling international report last year.
There's a 90% likelihood global warming is man-made.
Now, this man-made activity has been linked to ice melt at both the top and bottom of the world, a finding that could heat up the debate about what to do about it. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Officials at one New Jersey middle school today say one student's Halloween costume went too far. Eighth grader Alex Wawinski sent home in his robe, sandals, fake beard, and crown of thorns. Too distracting, according to the school district. Consumer spending is down, biggest drop in 4 years. Beth Ann Bovino, economist with Standard & Poor's.
We think the fourth quarter is going to be very, very weak, so it's going to be a ho-hum holiday. We think that's going to extend probably through early 2009 as well. We think we're in a recession.
The Dow, up 144 points today. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Wallet.
Dow. Are we at the gas station?
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling these gas prices, too.
You're feeling it. I'm the wallet down here. Head to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
Why?
Proper vehicle maintenance. A new air filter could save 41 cents a gallon. Correct tire inflation up to 12 cents a gallon.
Wow, that sure adds up.
Man, it keeps me full figure. But fat wallets are very in right now.
When your vehicle is at its best, it's most fuel efficient. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package. You'll get a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, fluid top off, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate.
Well, done. That was easy.
Maybe you should listen to your wallet more often.
Well, you're typically pretty quiet.
Well, I didn't want to be a pain in the...
Find great fuel-saving tips and offers for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury at GenuineService.com. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See participating dealership for rebate details through 11/30/08. Fuel savings based on fueleconomy.gov.
trick-or-treat? Well, before the sun goes down, little kids in costumes are going door-to-door in assisted living facilities like this one in Connecticut.
And while they slumbered, the witch's spell began to work.
After story time, preschoolers in costume went door-to-door in an assisted living facility here.
I'm just as Peter Pan.
Two-year-old Margaret explains why she wanted to be Peter Pan.
Because I have a hat.
Some of the retirement age residents offered candy. They say it changes the mood to have so many little kids dressed up and running through the halls. Matt Dwyer, CBS News, Avon, Connecticut.
A wedding ceremony in Karachi, raided by Pakistani police who arrested the officiating Muslim cleric and the parents of the bride and the groom. He's 7, she's 5. In Pakistan, marriage below the age of 18 is illegal. Some Muslim scholars say it's as allowed if the bride and groom have reached puberty. According to a TV report, the parents said the wedding had been arranged to end an 8-year feud between the two families. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
I'm Errol Squires, inventor of Relieve One-Day Cold Sore Symptom Treatment. I invented Relieve because I wanted a very effective, natural treatment for cold sores that worked really fast. Relieve works so well and so fast for me, my family, and friends, I wanted to help other people who suffer from cold sores. I think people are smart enough to know if something works. If you suffer from cold sores, try Relieve and find out if it works for you. Relieve is comprised of botanical extracts and is guaranteed. Buy Relieve now at all major stores.
Today, cantaloupes are 2 for $1, and cereal is 1% off. Don't forget to buy your rewards card and take advantage of even better deals.
Too much at once can make it hard to hear what's really important. The same could be said about driving. When there's too much on the road, things can get a bit crowded. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying the load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Really?
Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
They let him on the radio?
Conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Halloween weekend from soggy San Francisco. Great show lineup for you today. Some good news to pass along in just a moment. Robert Perry from Consortium News will be with us shortly here. He's got an interesting set of comments for people thinking of supporting a third-party candidate. Later this hour, we'll meet Terry Tamminen. He's a fascinating guy. He's been a ship's captain, a farmer, advisor to Arnold Schwarzenegger on California's greenhouse gas global warming legislation. And he's the author of a new book called Lives Per Gallon, The True Cost of Our Oil Addiction. And we'll follow that up with the CEO of a new company that's promising green jobs based on fuel cell technology right here in California. John Slangerup is president and CEO of Clear Edge Power. Also on today's program, constitutional purist Bruce Fine, a man whom I agree with on returning our nation to constitutional rule and the value of impeachment. Yes, even today. And for Bruce Fine, I have the latest denial from Speaker Nancy Pelosi about impeachment and the lame excuses why it's still off her table. I think she's kind of off her rocker on that. And lots to talk about with Mr. Election Protection, Brad Friedman, in our third hour today. We're gearing up for our Election Day special coverage. Brad and I will co-anchor here on the program. We'll get you the details a little bit later. Oh, but there are long lines for early voting in many states, and already some issues have surfaced. We'll talk about those and run them down for you with Brad Friedman in our third and final hour today. You can join me toll-free whenever the urge strikes you. Just pick up the phone and call us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And a shout-out to our weekend listeners in Seattle, Portland, Missoula, and online around the world. Great to have you with us. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And I'd love to hear from you, pro or con. Your feedback is always welcome. And a quick comment to open the show. I've been candid, and many of you are aware, that keeping this program on the air has been a struggle financially, especially with the economic downturn, and, well, I haven't gotten a Bush bailout so far. But I did get a reprieve today. I put together a deal that's going to help me support the program, keep us on the air, and should expand our coverage into the northeastern United States. Haven't inked the contract yet, and as soon as we do, we will announce the details there. But I'm pleased to say that, at least for now, the Peter B. Collins Show will continue, and that makes me feel real good. I was getting kind of sad and a little depressed about the prospect of taking the show off the air. And for now, we're in good shape. It's not like I'm getting rich, but it'll cover our costs and keep us going, and that has been my goal. I want to thank all the people who have logged on to my website at peterbcollins.com and responded to the page there that says you can help. You can still help. Your help is much appreciated. And I'm grateful to every individual who's responded either online or by mail to my post office box. And that's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, zip code 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, zip code 94942. Robert Perry joins us every week at this time, and he is the longtime journalist who now publishes online at consortiumnews.com. He worked for Frontline, he worked for AP, and most recently he published Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush, co-authored with two of his sons. Bob, how you doing today?
Good, Peter. That's great news about your staying on the air.
Well, thank you. Yep. These are tough times, and I know you're struggling at Consortium News to keep the lights on and the website up. And so these are difficult times, and I am pleased at the response from listeners. And as I said, when I have an opportunity and we have a signed contract, I'll announce the details, but it looks like we will be expanding our coverage into the Northeast United States, and it could be as soon as next week. So I'm very pleased about that. And, Bob, how's your fundraising going at Consortium News?
Well, it's always a struggle. I do think, though, that, you know, after the election's over, the next real challenge that the American people will face is how do you build honest, independent media? It's been the biggest problem, I think, that this country has faced in this that politically structural sense. The right got way ahead, investing billions and billions of dollars in newspapers, magazines, talk radio, TV, Fox News. So it's just been an amazing imbalance that has been created. And I think if you look to the future, I mean, assuming if Obama wins on Tuesday, I think it's very likely that the next battle that the right will wage, as they did in 93 in greeting Bill Clinton, is to have their media go after him and his policies every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very important to have honesty, something to counterbalance that kind of consistent attack. And the only way it can happen is with honest media, independent media.
So do you think there's an Obama project gearing up and that right-wing millionaires and billionaires like Richard Mellon Scaife are already funding the muckraking operation?
Well, I think you'll see a transference of some of the muckraking we've already seen into that if, again, Obama wins. It's very important to remember what happened in 1992-93 after Clinton won and the Democrats won both the House and the Senate. The Republicans were extremely depressed, and some of them talked about what really kept them going, and as they rebuilt over those 2 years, those two key years, 93 and 94, was their media infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And they talk about the importance of Limbaugh in particular and talk radio in attacking the Clintons and digging up all this dirt. Remember, that's also when the American Spectator developed the Troopergate stories and, claiming that alleging Bill Clinton was involved in all these nefarious activities, and there were stories about murders in Arkansas. And so all that kind of rumor and smear had a very powerful effect as you go through those 2 years, and one of the real victims of that was was Hillary Clinton's health insurance plan, which
That's right.
One of the targets. And so you had this a very important development, which I'm pretty sure you'll see an effort to repeat if Obama wins next Tuesday.
Yeah, and hopefully he will not offer vulnerabilities like Whitewater and the firing of the travel staff that produced a Travelgate thing. Those things were seized upon and blown up into media firestorms at the time, and they both turned out to be very trivial issues.
But that's the significance. The right, by having this media infrastructure it's got, can make small things big. It can even turn things that aren't really anything into something big. So it's very difficult for a politician to walk through that minefield. Even if they're careful, they're always going to be unforced errors when you try to govern. There are going to be people who say stupid things, or subordinates who do stupid things, or in some cases presidents who do stupid things.
Yep.
And that will happen. And if you have an infrastructure, as the right does, that can exploit that and turn that into a major event, it does limit what politicians can accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Robert Perry with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bob, I really appreciate the thoughtful think pieces that you often publish at consortiumnews.com. And as an example, on October 29, you posted an item related to people who are tempted to vote for a third-party candidate. And you take us back to Florida in 2000. And I made a similar point earlier this week when we saw the New York Times analysis of the packing of the courts. Not just the Supreme Court that most people are aware of, but the appeals courts are now so heavily tilted toward Republican appointees, and not just people who happen to be members of the Republican Party, but really movement conservatives who are delivering for the conservative agenda in activist judges' court rulings. And we hear about activist judges when they're liberals, but, of course, when the conservatives control the benches and operate that way, that's just seen as good jurisprudence. But I think you make some good arguments here. And here in California, Obama is polling 23 points ahead of John McCain. So what are your thoughts about people who say, Obama doesn't need me, and I want to send a message by supporting Cynthia McKinney, Bob Barr, or Ralph Nader?
Well, I think it's really a question of how serious one takes a McCain presidency. If you think that McCain would continue what you're talking about, the packing of the courts, and especially, in this case, the Supreme Court, which is really on a knife's edge. You have four hardline right-wing justices. One more from the more moderate segment would turn the court into something that could really redefine the U.S. Constitution, and they've said they will.
Yeah.
They've made it clear that in the case of George Bush's claims of unlimited power for the presidency at time of war, that they would grant him that. So you have only one vote majority to stop that. So that's on a knife's edge. And you have, of course, also McCain talking about going to war, expanding the wars in the Middle East, possibly taking on Iran and so forth. So if you think that really is a serious threat, then I think there's a moral dynamic or imperative to vote the way that is best to stop him. And that case would be for Obama. And just because people think, oh, well, California looks like it's in the bag, first of all, that's not necessarily true in the sense that if everybody voted the way you're talking about, it wouldn't be in the bag. If everyone voted for Cynthia McKinney or Ralph Nader, that would not be the way it is. So basically people are saying, let someone else do that work. Mm-hmm. Let someone else stop McCain. I'm sort of taking myself out of the game. And also the question of popular vote. We saw in 2000, if the popular vote had been more decisively in favor of Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Gore won by 500,000 ballots nationwide, but that was about, you know, 0.5% or so. And people said, well, that's kind of dead even.
Mm-hmm.
So it enabled the Supreme Court, which is a political entity, and people like Sandra Day O'Connor and Anthony Kennedy, to join with the three hardline right-wing justices to hand the White House to Bush. If it had been more like, I say, a $2 million vote margin for Gore,
mm-hmm.
they might not have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very important point, and nobody should really take for granted, even given the poll numbers, and even if it is your fervent desire that Barack Obama be elected, there are a lot of things that can happen between now and Tuesday. We've seen voter suppression. We've seen the turnout issues as people are lining up for the early voting. When we talk to Brad a couple of hours from now, you'll get the details on various states where there are significant voting problems. And to the extent those are battleground states and really critical to Obama's electoral vote count, we cannot take anything for granted. And so I think people really should read your piece, Two Troubling Election Arguments, before you decide to cast a vote for a minor party candidate this year. We'll take a break and return and talk about another article Robert Perry has written this week about expansion of the spying capabilities of the U.S. government. Big Brother, oh, he's bigger than ever. We'll pick up there in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, Open Systems Architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado.
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by friends of Bill Monning.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Halloween weekend up and down the left coast. And if somebody dressed as Sarah Palin knocks on your door with a trick or treat, tell her no candy until she schedules a press conference. Music at the moment is called Ghosts, Hold the Goblins. It's by Dirty Vegas. We continue with Robert Perry. Read his work at consortiumnews.com. Bob, I want to tie a couple of things together here to your article called The New Technology of Repression, if you'll indulge me. Item one is from Friday's New York Times. Eric Lichtblau has reported that during the 2004 election cycle,
More than 10,000 pages on 2,000 immigrants from predominantly Muslim countries have shown the pattern of surveillance of these individuals. And while Lichtblau's work does not say that this was based on intercepts from the National Security Agency, I would have to presume that it did play a part. And our government said that this was an effort to disrupt any terrorist plots that might have occurred around the election without regard to race, ethnicity, or religion. But 79% of the suspects were from Muslim-majority countries. No one was charged with any kind of terrorism-related issue, and a number of them were deported in the process. Now, I tie that together with the incredible reporting in James Bamford's new book, The Shadow Factory, which shows the breadth and depth of the illegal surveillance, the unconstitutional monitoring of American citizens, and their communications that occur point-to-point inside the United States. And despite the calls by the Bush administration or the claims that they're only spying on terrorists, they're scooping up virtually every communication that is transmitted in this country today. And that takes us to your report that DARPA, the Advanced Research Projects Agency at the Pentagon, is ready to unveil a new effort that is based on these predator drones that we have in the skies around the world, and a new kind of monitoring program which is similar to what John Poindexter used to be working on over at the Pentagon. Tell us about it.
Well, basically, this idea at DARPA. DARPA is the agency of the Pentagon that does sort of far out scientific technology and uses it for sometimes good, sometimes ill. I mean, they were part of developing the internet, for instance. But they've also been part of some rather wacky schemes for how to take all the data that exists in electronic form and pull it together on everybody and essentially try to figure out who might be a threat. Who might be a terrorist threat out of all that, and that was called the Total Information Awareness Project that John Poindexter, the former Iran-Contra convicted felon who was later acquitted by one of those appeals courts, or let off by one of the appeals courts, but he was put in charge of it, and but that was stopped because it was such an Orwellian concept. It was stopped at least at one level. It's been continued by the NSA and many others levels. So. Mm-hmm. A new DARPA scheme is to take surveillance video, which they talk about it being from predator drones, but it really could be from any kind of video that they're taking.
Yeah, 7-Eleven camera, banks, everywhere.
Right, and doing algorithms with it to identify different kinds of movements of people, and this would be like everybody that they're watching. So there'd be certain, they could index, say, if you were running, or they could index it if you were throwing something, which some of that might make sense in a military concept. But also they include things like kissing, shaking hands, rather routine procedures in daily life. So you have this idea that they're going to now have this way of taking this kind of video data, cataloging it, and holding it essentially forever, and pulling it up as they wish. That's the concept that they're working on. And I put it in the context also of the war fighting in Iraq and other elements that have been brought to bear there in terms of the biometrics to define people by gaits, how they walk or how their facial look.
Right.
And as this sort of new sort of Orwellian concept comes in, the idea is to know who to kill, who can be identified as a threat. If you're on a terrorist list, you can be then taken out and shot, which is what they've also been doing. So it's a pretty interesting way that the marriage of this high technology with war fighting is going on.
Yeah, and one of the things Bamford reports on is a kind of voice mining, where once my voice or yours is tagged by the NSA, they can pick it out of millions of telephone calls that are coming through their system simultaneously. We've tied that together with all the data that they've collected from our phone records to bank accounts to credit cards, the GPS on our phones. They know where we are, they know what we're up to, and I guess they know when we're kissing too, Bob. It's amazing. Well, thank you for your work, and I want people to visit your site at consortiumnews.com and support Bob Perry if you can. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. Talk to you soon. Coming up next, we'll meet Terry Tamman, an Aussie transplant to the United States. Very impressive guy. The author of Lives Per Gallon.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Political campaigns can be very instructive. The prism of politics in this presidential campaign has recast completely the role of Vice President Dick Cheney. It was believed by many that Cheney was the one who was really running the country. He always denied that, but it was the perception a lot of people had. Well, thanks to this presidential campaign and the special insight of the Democratic candidate, we've come to understand that these have not been the Bush-Cheney years at all. These have been the Bush-McCain years. I don't know how Cheney feels about this, but the revelation that John McCain has been the one in the passenger seat riding shotgun was completely missed by almost everybody, including the media. The New York Times must have missed it when they endorsed John McCain for the Republican nomination. More about what Obama has revealed to us about McCain's secret role as George Bush's top advisor after this. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD? It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you aren't seeing clearly, by all means see an eye doctor and get checked out right away. Because early detection, followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist, is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to Geico. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi-car discounts. You could save 15% or more. But if you enjoy spending your 15 minutes with way too many cats, by all means, who am I to judge?
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Apparently, now that John McCain's true role, displacing Dick Cheney as the most powerful man in the Bush administration, has been revealed to us by Senator Obama, we can clearly see that McCain was only posing as a maverick and a thorn in George Bush's side. Actually, as Obama has now made us understand, these 8 years were not the Bush-Cheney years at all. They were the Bush-McCain years. McCain reaching out to co-sponsor immigration and campaign financing reform, that was just part of a clever disguise. Now, at last, we can see why Obama, having promised to honor spending limits in the campaign finance reform, decided once he was the candidate to ignore them, once he saw through McCain's true role as Bush's supporter-in-chief. Obama would like to have run against George Bush, and his extremely creative and imaginative vision of these as the Bush-McCain years makes it possible for him to do so. Sorry, Dick Cheney. We just didn't realize how unimportant you were. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Oh, not that.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're going to meet Terry Tamminen next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I'm reading in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. A spooky little thing called global warming. Flora, flora, carbon, strip away ozone. You can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come on to rule.
That's my buddy Dr. Elmo. He trashed Christmas with the Grandma song, and now he's trashing Halloween with that's from his first collection. There's a new collection of Halloween songs out this year, too. That one's called Dr. Elmo Sings the Booze, and if you go to drelmo.com, just drelmo.com, you can get full information. And you didn't know that global warming song was a Halloween tune, did you? Terry Tamminen joins us now. He's an Australian transplant to the United States and guy with a fascinating background. He's a ship's captain, ran a sheep ranch in Mississippi. He's written books, and we're going to talk about one of them. He founded the Santa Monica Baykeeper Service and also helped similar efforts get underway in San Diego, Orange County, Ventura, and Santa Barbara. And he also served as a top advisor to California's Governor Schwarzenegger, helping him win the recall. And then he was appointed head of our California Environmental Protection Agency. He's since moved on, and he's published a new book called Lives Per Gallon, The True Cost of Our Oil Addiction. Is now out in an updated paperback edition. Terry Tamminen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I'm just missing your Australian accent there.
Well, just a slight correction to your introduction. I was actually born in Wisconsin, and my family migrated to Australia when I was a kid, and then I came back here to go to college and lived all over the world since then.
Okay, great. And you're a diver. You've studied conch and coral. I mean, you've done a lot of things that I enjoy doing.
which could just mean I'm either good at many things or I can't keep a job.
Well, I don't know the details of that, so maybe we'll get you a bailout if you need it, okay? They're offering it almost anybody.
Be getting them these days.
Yeah. Well, Terry, your book is a fascinating look at our oil addiction, and you offer some very interesting angles, and I just want to kind of hopscotch around some of the things you talk about. First of all, you know, when we talk about this oil addiction, as the cost at the pump now has dropped precipitously, and we're in the $2.50 to $2.75 a gallon range in California once again, I was in Ohio recently where it was down below $2.50. And this kind of causes people to revert to old behaviors and say, well, I guess I don't need to sell that gas-guzzling Explorer after all. Talk a little bit about the ups and downs of the oil marketplace and the way it plays on our psychology.
You know, there's no question some people are breathing a sigh of relief, but oil prices and gasoline prices are still on an upward trend. You do have, if you look at over the last 10 years, you see the peaks and valleys, but the general trend is still upward. Just 9 years ago, as I mentioned in the foreword to the book, The Economist magazine was saying that there was so much oil around the world, and the price of oil 10 years ago was $10 a barrel, that they were predicting, because of the glut of oil, that it would soon reach $5 a barrel. And I don't think anybody who is looking at the price of oil or gasoline today thinks that anymore. So with competition around the globe, with our own gas-guzzling ways, I think people now understand that this is not like the Arab oil embargo back in 1973, which was artificial, and once the geopolitics were resolved, the spigot got turned back on. This is a long problem, as I talk about in the book, that we're hitting peak oil. There's not that much left of it, relatively speaking. There's huge demand for it around the globe from China, India, from our own consumption. And a temporary economic slowdown may give you a brief respite, but that's all it is.
Mm-hmm. So how do we deal with this? Is this the right time to put some taxes on gasoline or on oil produced in the United States as a way of trying to wean us off petrofuels and to try to build in the full life cycle cost of the oil that we use today?
I actually think there's a better way than just taxes because, you know, first of all, I think most of us would say in California and even in the rest of the country, it would be very difficult to get the political will to get a tax that would mean anything, even though we've paid as much as a dollar, dollar and a half more per gallon in recent memory in the last few weeks. If you were to say to somebody, we want to add a 20-cent a gallon gas tax, you'd get shot and run out of town. So to get it to a dollar, $2, $3, to get, say, the price of gasoline even to where it is in Europe, which obviously affects their behavior and their consumption, it just isn't politically possible, I don't think, with a tax. And the other thing is a tax doesn't really guarantee that outcomes like reducing greenhouse gases. Because what does happen is people change their habits for a while. They then start to internalize it. Maybe they go out to dinner less often or don't, you know, buy a new car quite so often, but they just pay the extra price for gasoline and grumble.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to do is obviously get off this addiction and create economic stimulus and so on that changes the very dynamic. So I'm more of a fit in favor of a cap and trade program, for example, a market way of making sure that whatever additional costs are added to a gallon of gasoline or other fossil fuels are actually resulting in reduction in their use and reduction in the harm that comes from them, or doing, as I talk about in the book, what we did with tobacco, which is taking these companies to court because they acted just like tobacco companies. They lied, and they're stealing the breath from our children. And if you take them to court and force them to disgorge some of their huge profits, they may pass on that cost of the litigation to consumers, just as tobacco companies did. And so that hidden tax at least changes behavior.
Terry Tamminen, do you support the Pickens bailout, Proposition 10?
You know, I'll be honest, I am going to vote for it personally. It was a toss-up to me. I mean, I think that... it's not a perfect measure, and I know people have criticized it because he stands to make a profit. Well, you know, a lot of things people make a profit on, but they're good for us. You know, whether it's battery electric cars, I mean, someone's going to make money selling those, or whether it's you know, other things that we can all agree would be good for us.
Right, but Tesla Motors is not asking California voters to approve bond measures that will cost almost $10 billion in total to buy natural gas-powered trucks and other fleet vehicles. And the language of the ballot measure doesn't even require that these vehicles stay in California once they've been purchased.
Well, that's right. And look, there's a lot of things that we do like that, you know, that don't stay within our borders. So there's a lot of things we do in terms of our tax money and whatnot. Again, look, I'll be the first to say it's not a perfect measure. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But on balance, when you think about, and as I document in the book, the amount of subsidies that we're giving to oil and coal and car companies
and ethanol.
I would rather be in favor if you passed the law or put up a law that suggested getting rid of those subsidies and then letting the marketplace really work, then I wouldn't support something like Prop 10. But as long as we continue to give billions of dollars to oil companies, we've got to do something to level the playing field.
Now, what about the larger Pickens plan? Essentially, he sketches a vision, and I give him a lot of credit for a guy from the oil patch and a corporate raider, that, you know, he sees this transitional period where we should shift to natural gas for vehicle power and emphasize wind and solar for the generation of electricity. I certainly support any reduction in the use of coal for electrical generation in this country. But in the big picture, do you think Pickens has identified the problems and at least one path forward?
He certainly has. And, you know, we're not going to solve any of these problems with one magic, one silver bullet. It's only going to be silver buckshot. We need a variety of these approaches, including something like an interim approach where natural gas is a better transportation fuel than petroleum. It is cleaner. It's something that we can get more domestically. We can even make from renewable sources like agricultural waste and even, you know, human sewage and those types of things. So there's actually renewable sources of methane. My wife drives a natural gas car, and we're actually installing a home fueler so that we can. It's a small compressor that you connect up to your own natural gas supply, the same natural gas that supplies the burners on your stove.
Right.
And we just compress the gas into our car whenever we choose, and we won't be going to T. Boone Pickens place at all. I personally drive a hydrogen-powered fuel cell car, and we'll be putting in a home fueler early next year connected to my solar panels, and we'll use my gray water from our showers to break the hydrogen, use the solar energy to break the hydrogen out of that wastewater and put that in my car. So there are, and I talk about all this in the book, there are solutions out there that we can much more rapidly bring to market. And Pickens' idea, you know, it's a good one. Let's get more solar and find other renewables for our electrical supply that frees up natural gas, which at least in the midterm is a cleaner solution. And, you know, we're certainly not killing people and marching armies around the world to get it.
Yeah. And I think that Pickens is somewhat like Ross Perot, where he has been valuable in identifying the problems and persuading certain people who were in denial that we do need to confront these issues and do it in a dramatic way. I just wish that his self-interest were separated, because, you know, if he'd put all the stock of these companies in a trust and say this is where the money's going to go, it would remove the onus of his own profit motive. And in particular, some of my listeners have been calling about his plans for eminent domain to site power lines and gas lines, and that seems to be something that, you know, is overreaching, again, when his self-interest and personal profit are very much on people's minds.
Well, look, absolutely, and I wish the plan were better. I wish that we didn't have the subsidies that we have for oil, which is literally killing us and many people around the world, such that we would have to balance it with subsidies for things that are much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather that we didn't have to make that choice at all. But until we get smart about it, maybe if everybody reads my book, certainly all the people coming into Congress in the next Congress and whoever the next president is, if they really understand the true cost of our oil addiction and our coal and other fossil fuel addictions, perhaps we could unravel some of the subsidies that we're currently paying, both the ones that are obvious and the ones that are hidden.
Terry Tamminen with us. His new book, Lives Per Gallon, The True Cost of Our Oil Addiction. He's with us till the top of the hour, so if you have a question or comment, you can call us now, toll-free, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Terry, your description of the demise of the electric car seemed very personal in the book. Talk about that, and if that technology, you know, was taken off the showroom floor and off the streets just a few years ago, why is it that Detroit can't revive that and put us back on a fast track to all electric vehicles?
You know, it was personal because I was Secretary of California's EPA during part of that, and having the car companies come in and lie under penalty of perjury, by the way, to our various regulators under oath, just as the tobacco companies did, and I lay that out in the book in a way that, you know, my belief is that if these companies acted like tobacco companies, we should treat them as such. But yes, so it was personal, and I've also watched, you know, as I've heard an ad on the radio today for the Chevy Volt, you know, this mm-hmm. battery electric hybrid plug-in hybrid that they intend to bring to market, and they keep saying it'll be coming to market in 2010. Let me be the first to tell you that it will never come to market. General Motors has told me, and I document this in the book over and over again, about these various vehicles that will come to market in, you know, a year, 18 months, 2 years. They give me these deadlines, and of course they all come and go. They have absolutely no intention of bringing that vehicle to market. And there's a bunch of reasons for it. And the reason that I think Detroit will not be bringing electric cars back to the market or hydrogen cars is because in Japan, in Korea, in China, the car companies can take a car from the drawing board to the showroom in as little as 30 months. It takes Detroit, the Ford and General Motors, 8 years to do the same thing mm-hmm. because they're so hidebound, they're so risk-averse, their management structure is so incredibly inefficient. And so as a result, they can't, and they realize suddenly, gee, people want more fuel-efficient vehicles or hybrids. It takes them too long to get it to market. By the time they do, the marketplace has moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue doing what they believe will make money. That's why they kept building SUVs and making vast profits on those until suddenly the bottom fell out of that.
Yeah.
And I, as I predict in the book, I think that these companies will go bankrupt and or will be nameplating cars made in China and other countries.
Oh no, we're gonna bail them out.
Well, we're gonna give them a temporary respite. I mean, it worked with Chrysler back in the Carter administration, but those were different times and different circumstances.
Yeah, I want to talk a little more about that, but we need to take a break. We'll continue with Terry Tamminen in just a moment. He continues as an advisor to Governor Schwarzenegger, was formerly the Secretary of the California Environmental Protection Agency, and his book out in paperback, Lives Per Gallon, The True Cost of Our Oil Addiction. Lines open if you want to check in, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540.
visit our website at krxa540.com.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo trustee on November 4th.
I'm SoCal resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, SoCal, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a SoCal Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo trustee.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast from Big Sur all the way to the California border. It's good to have you listening. That was the Canadian border. We cover the California border, too. Hello, Oregon. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, we're going to meet John Slangerup. He is president and CEO of Clear Edge Power, and they've developed a fuel cell technology promising green jobs in California and Oregon. So we'll talk with John Slangerup about that just a few minutes away. We continue with Terry Tamminen. As we mentioned, he was head of the California EPA for Governor Schwarzenegger and is the author of a book now out in paperback, Lives Per Gallon, The True Cost of Our Oil Addiction. Terry, I've got a caller who wants to talk with us a little bit about Detroit. And before I plug him in, I just want to note for background that the discussion in Detroit right now is the General Motors, which is on its knees and the stock's dropped below $5 a share, wants to take over Chrysler. Now, Chrysler is sitting on $11 billion in cash. About $8 billion of that was the ransom payment that Daimler gave the company, the investors who took Chrysler off their hands. So the prospect is that our government will give $25 billion to General Motors so it can swallow Chrysler and dismantle it, lay off thousands of American workers. And what we've seen is just further consolidation of the industry without any benefit to consumers or any way of addressing the global warming issues that really are front and center.
Peter, these are purely political moves, and it doesn't matter who's the next president. Some kind of a bailout will be supported because, you know, they both want to win Michigan. They both want to win, you know, the hearts and minds of workers like that. And and of these industries that are very powerful, disproportionately so in this country, and I talk about why that's true in the book. And while the auto industries may be a little bit battered at the moment, they're still incredibly wealthy and powerful, and they wield that power just like oil companies and tobacco companies have done.
Mm-hmm.
So, frankly, you know, I say Darwin has selected Detroit's auto companies for extinction, and I would let them go.
Yeah.
The fact is that there's a lot of automaking still going on in this country. It's being done by more efficient companies from overseas who are smart enough to locate factories, including here in California, where mm-hmm. Toyota has a factory in the Bay Area that's turning out hybrid Camrys.
Well, and Terry, it's interesting because when the bailout was first mentioned for Detroit, a group of small new automakers focused on the renewable energy approach took out a full-page ad in the New York Times saying, hey, over here, over here.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, look, it's just shocking to me that at this point Congress isn't smart enough, or certainly this administration isn't smart enough to get something for it. As
yeah.
you said, the consumers ought to get something for it. The taxpayer ought to have something for it. I mean, just like the banks, we've moved from just buying up bad debt to saying, well, wait a minute, if these banks can actually recover, maybe we should recover with them, so let's own some of their stock.
Let's talk to William in Santa Cruz. William, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, with bailing out the automobile manufacturers, their leadership has been a failure. Their marketing strategies, their manufacturing strategies in terms of building what the American people want have been a failure.
And you're right, William, that's why they're going to get huge bonuses.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to get bonuses, and they're going to get a bailout. So we are buying out an interest. The American people will own an interest in these companies, and part of that should be that they should meet manufacturing targets for vehicles that the American people actually want. The American people want hybrid vehicles. They want fuel-efficient vehicles. They want all kinds of innovations in terms of fuel efficiency, and even they want public transportation. So if they're going to give them all this money, then they should invest so much in public transportation as the corresponding part of the deal, and the manufacturers have to have, you know, 30% of their vehicles have to be hybrid or some stipulation for them to get this bailout. We are buying them out. They must give the American people what the American people want. We want fuel efficiency for any number of reasons. We're running out of oil. We're heating up the planet, et cetera. That's my remark.
All right. Very well put. Thank you, William. And the other thing I would add is that the bailout I'd like to give Detroit and every manufacturing company in this nation is national health care, because that would help level the playing field and go a long way toward relieving the financial pressures they face.
Well, Gary, you're exactly right. I mean, that's something that candidate Obama proposed during the primaries, but I haven't heard him talk about since,
yeah.
which is that under his plan, he would give them some relief on health care, get that off their books, which General Motors reports is $5 billion every year the moment they open their door, whether they sell a vehicle and make a nickel or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons they're risk-averse. And that actually would at least give something to employees, to members of the public, and start to solve another huge problem, which is obviously our lack of health care for many people in this country.
Terry, about a minute remaining, and I give Governor Schwarzenegger mixed grades in his service to the state, but I certainly salute him for his leadership on AB 32, his fighting his own political party in recognition of climate change issues. What do you see as the Schwarzenegger vision going forward as we start to implement AB 32?
You know, I certainly agree with you. He has been a leader in that. There's going to be a global climate summit November 18th and 19th in Los Angeles that will bring together world leaders to help plow the ground for an agreement in Copenhagen. And that's really where his vision is to help use California as a catalyst to a national, strong national program in a new administration when we get a sane president, and that we then engage the rest of the world. But he's not waiting, just as he didn't wait for the Fed. California took action. We're not waiting for the world. We're bringing together the world here next month to try to start that process.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I'd love to talk with you again, Terry.
We We will do that and say hi to my good friend John Slangerup. He's part of the solutions to the problems that we've just been talking about.
I sure will. He'll be joining us next. Terry Tamminen. Pick up his book. It's out in paperback, Lives Per Gallon, The True Cost of Our Oil Addiction. We'll take a break and return with Mr. Slangerup talking about fuel cell technology and what it means for green jobs in California and Oregon. Also next hour, Bruce Fine will join us and talk about restoring the Constitution here in America. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation. That's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fit and get rich.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A big push into the final weekend of the campaign.
Iowa, 4 days.
Obama returns to Iowa.
There's just 4 days left.
As McCain hopes for Ohio. I'm Howard Arenstein.
Consumer spending takes a plunge.
It's going to be a ho-hum holiday.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Hello, Iowa!
Barack Obama flew to Des Moines, where he got his first victory back in January.
Iowa, I have just two words for you. 4 days.
He said the state's early support is now paying off.
We are 4 days away from bringing change to America. 4 days.
There's just 4 days left. We're closing, my friends, and we're going to win in Ohio.
John McCain rode his bus for a second day through Ohio, where he's hoping to stage a comeback.
We're a few points down, but we're coming back, and we're coming back strong.
Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambinder says everything hinges on the voters who still haven't made up their minds.
If 6-7% of the electorate is still undecided, and that's probably a good estimate of where we are, John McCain would have to win essentially every remaining undecided voter to make up the gap that you see in the polls.
Reporters for the Washington Times, New York Post, and the Dallas Morning News, which all recently endorsed McCain, have lost their seats on Obama's plane. CBS's Maria Gavrilovich is traveling with the candidate.
The Obama campaign issued a statement saying that demand for seats on the plane during the final weekend has exceeded the supply, and for logistical reasons, they had to make the decision not to add a second plane and therefore had to make the decisions of limiting some news organizations.
Washington Times editor John Solomon talked to WTOP Radio.
We covered Senator Obama from the beginning. We've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to travel on the plane, travel around with him, cover him. And then when it comes to the final 3 days of the campaign, our seat is given to someone else who hasn't covered the campaign or spent that many resources doing it.
Now this.
How to put your energy bill on ice. Step one, head to the Home Depot. Step two, pick up a more energy-efficient Energy Star refrigerator for 10% off. Step 3. Open your new energy bill. Voila! Much cooler.
Right now, get 10% off all appliances of $299 or more. And to help save you even more, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 items throughout the store at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Ends November 5th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
The U.S. economy lives or dies on consumer spending. Today, the government reported that personal spending fell 0.3% in September, the biggest drop in 4 years.
personal spending numbers reflect everything that U.S. consumers purchase, from haircuts to canned goods to motor vehicles to vacations to really everything.
Deutsche Bank economist Joseph Livornia says spending slowed because of Hurricane Ike and the decline in energy prices. Bethann Bovino at Standard & Poor's predicts a ho-hum holiday.
We think the fourth quarter is going to be very, very weak. We think that's going to extend probably through early 2009 as well. We think we're in a recession.
That's the working assumption on Wall Street, so today's news had no effect. The Dow gained another 144 points to close out this turbulent month at 9325. CBS News correspondent Allison Harmelin at the New York Stock Exchange.
People here are feeling a little more confident about the markets. There's been a little bit of a boom this week. Buyers are taking advantage of some sales prices here on Wall Street. And in the meantime, most people are just waiting with bated breath to see what will happen in the big election next week.
Studs Terkel, a Chicago original, even though he was born in New York, died at home today. He was 96. Terkel was a prolific writer and a longtime radio host with endless curiosity about people and their experiences.
What was it like to be a kid at the front, scared stiff during World War II, a woman with a first-time job working in a defense plant, a conscientious objector, someone blitzed in London? Now, if you get the idea from that person, perhaps we'd have a better sense of history.
His latest book, P.S., Further Thoughts from a Lifetime of Listening, comes out next month. On his 95th birthday, the cigar-smoking, martini-drinking Terkel said his epitaph should be, "Curiosity did not kill this cat." You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Wallet.
Now, are we at the gas station now?
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling these gas prices, too.
You're feeling it. I'm the wallet down here. Head to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
Why?
Proper vehicle maintenance. A new air filter can save 41 cents a gallon. Correct tire inflation up to 12 cents a gallon.
Wow, that sure adds up.
And it keeps me full figure. But fat wallets are very in right now.
When your vehicle is at its best, it's most fuel efficient. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package. You'll get a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, fluid top off, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate.
Well, done. That was easy.
Maybe you should listen to your wallet more often.
Well, you're typically pretty quiet.
Well, I didn't want to be a pain in the...
Find great fuel-saving tips and offers for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury at GenuineService.com. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See participating dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08. Fuel savings based on fuel economy.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the antidote that should be applied liberally. Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. My friend Bruce Fein, fighting for restoration of the Constitution in this country, will join us later this hour. His new book is called Constitutional Peril. And we're going to ask him to respond to Nancy Pelosi's recent lame comments about why impeachment is off her table. It's kind of a renewable energy, green kind of day here at the Peter B. Collins Show. We were just talking with Terry Tamminen, and we're joined now by a man who he knows. John Slangerup is president and CEO of Clear Edge Power. They serve Oregon and California. He'll explain the fuel cell technology that they have been developing. He also worked in the solar industry. He was CEO of Solar Integrated Technologies, and he spent 20 years with FedEx, rising to the rank of president of FedEx Canada. When you absolutely, well, never mind. John Slangerup, welcome to our program.
Peter, good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you, and Terry Tamminen sends his best.
He's a great guy, great friend.
Now, you are part of a media blitz that we're collaborating in today, and this is a group of entrepreneurs who use the phrase E2, environmental entrepreneurs. What is the focus of your PR initiative today, John?
Well, you know, we're an independent group of business people that, you know, really focus on creating really solid environmental policy that also stimulates the economy. So we believe that environment and economy are synonymous and work hand in hand. And so we're focusing right now on making sure that the politicians in Washington and our friends in the various states that we're part of do the right thing in terms of making good investments in clean technology development mm-hmm. and infrastructure. So we're focused on clean tech, and we're making sure that our voice is heard.
Well, and I'm glad you're doing it, because this is an important time as Americans are voting either over the weekend or on Tuesday. And these are critical issues in terms of moving our country forward, dealing with the gnarly issues of our dependence on oil, including foreign oil, and the emissions that contribute to climate change in the world. And so I think that we're seeing a confluence here as the visionaries like Al Gore, Phil Angelides, who's running the Apollo Alliance now, Van Jones, who was on our show recently and really inspired many of our listeners with his vision of a green economy and green-collar jobs. Well, you're now kind of stepping in there behind the visionaries and putting these things into practical development. Tell us a little bit about Clear Edge Power and the fuel cell technology that you have been developing.
We've been working for 5 years at Clear Edge on a what I consider to be a game-changing fuel cell technology that allows homes and businesses to generate their own power and heat on-site and do it at a price much cheaper than you would get from the grid, much cleaner than you would get from the grid, and allow yourself to essentially reduce CO2 emissions, cost of energy, reduce the consumption of things like natural gas, and at the same time improve the overall performance of your company or your home operation from an energy efficiency standpoint.
Sounds great. I'm ready to sign up. I just have a few questions.
Sure, absolutely.
How's it work, and how does it save so much money?
Well, it's a highly efficient machine. It's a device that takes natural gas, or if you don't have that, propane, or other fuels, and converts that through a fuel cell of our own design that does three things. It generates electricity, and then it generates, of course, water vapor as its emission.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a third element, and it generates heat. And that heat we're able to capture and use to heat the home, to heat pools or spas, to heat just hot water applications in commercial settings.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to do with one input from fuel, very efficiently convert it to provide both the power for the building as well as the heat for the building at a fraction of the cost of what a grid charges for the same energy.
So on the inbound side, we are using less fossil fuel to drive this system. Then you have an efficiency factor, and is this zero emissions or just low emissions, John?
Well, there's zero particulate matter. There's no NOx or no SOx, none of the harmful particulate emissions. And then there's about a 35 to 45% reduction in CO2 emissions because we don't combust the fuel. We actually chemically alter it through a catalyst and steam. To produce the hydrogen stream that the fuel cell uses to generate the electricity and heat. So it's an extremely efficient process, about 83-84% efficient from the point of fuel input to the useful energy out. So the efficiency is very, very high. And then, of course, the system, because it doesn't combust the fuel, mm-hmm. is extremely clean.
Wow,
so it's a fantastic new approach and new technology. It's based on very old proven technology, but we have managed to shrink it down to a size that fits in a very small enclosure and can slide into a closet at your home or mm-hmm. on the side of your business. And we're starting to really get some traction with it.
And give us an easy comparison to, say, my gas-fired furnace that I have at home. In either BTU terms or just broad efficiency, how much more efficient is your system at throwing off the heat that I want?
It generates, our current system, the first one we've put out in the marketplace, is a 5-kilowatt system, which means that it generates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, generates all this heat and power that you need for your building. And in a home or business, it generates about 22,000 BTUs an hour of heat, which is sufficient to heat your home, particularly if you have some sort of radiant type of system, either radiators or radiant floor heating or things like that.
My friends with Eichlers will be happy to hear that.
Well, it's a great system for that, and it's and that's where the industry is going. It's going towards more and more efficient ways to heat and cool homes, and we're right in the middle of enabling all that. So the system, obviously generates the electricity, which you know, either is used by the building as it's required or goes into the grid and is credited against that customer's account.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, use at another time when you maybe have air conditioning going or something like that.
Yeah.
So it works really well in that regard, but the heat is the thing that makes it magic, because if you, in fact, have a good heat requirement, then you're getting the full benefit of that high-efficiency energy being generated from the, you know, in this case, natural gas.
Mm-hmm. And if the gas doesn't actually burn, what happens to it? You process it chemically, you get the heat from it,
yes.
And is it expended in that manner, or does it convert to some other form?
It converts to hydrogen. In real time. There's no hydrogen stored in the machine, but it converts the carbon stream into hydrogen, and the, you know, leftover emission is CO2. And of course, that CO2 is emitted, but because of the efficiency of the system and because you are able to provide heat as a byproduct, the overall CO2 emissions related to that much energy being produced is about 35 to 45% less than the typical grid,
mm-hmm.
depending on how clean that grid is. If it's a very clean grid, it's, you know, 30 to 35%. If it's a dirty grid with a lot of coal, then it could be 40 to 45% or even higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a real step improvement in the way energy is sourced and managed on a local basis. And of course, the beauty of these systems are that they can be networked within communities or within large building operations. We have, you know, we have restaurants in our customer base. We have hotels that are putting, you know, a dozen of these together in a single grouping. And so all of those things are really beginning to have an impact on how individuals and companies can manage their energy.
We're talking with John Slangerup. He is president and CEO of Clear Edge Power. And if you have a question or comment, he's with us for another segment. So call in now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The company's website is clearedgepower.com. That's pretty simple, clearedgepower.com. And, John, you're operating in California and Oregon right now. Is that right?
That's right. We have two offices in California, and we have our manufacturing and research and development center in just outside of Portland.
Mm-hmm. Any jobs available right now? I know some people looking for work.
Well, we're hiring. We've gone from about 20 people to about 55 people in the last year,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to triple that over the next year. So we're definitely looking for great talent.
Okay, and on your website, I don't see anything about jobs. Oh, yes, there's career opportunities right there. There's a link at the top of the page, so people can check that
out. Absolutely, and you know, this brings me around to a very good point about clean tech in general, because obviously from an E2 perspective, all of us are focused on stimulating investment within the clean tech sector, and that involves everything from fuel cells to solar to wind to, you know, bio fuels to everything related to reducing the CO2 impact that's happening in general in the world. And you know, the thing that's the most amazing thing about clean technology is that it's the fastest growing investment category from a venture standpoint. In fact, while the venture marketplace is declining currently in investments and has been for a couple of quarters, actually, clean tech investment is the only sector that's rising. So we're excited about that. And the fact of the matter is that, that the job creation is just massive in the sector.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really focused on this. I think the our friends over at the NRDC have you know recently published a study that talks about the potential for job creation. And literally, if we invest $100 billion in infrastructure and development of clean tech, we can create 2 million jobs, and that's really what this is about. It's about creating jobs,
mm-hmm.
stimulating the economy, helping protect, you know, the nation from an energy security problem, and really that's, I'm very, very proud to be part of that in terms of not only my own company, but mm-hmm. also being part of this organization.
John, we'll talk more as we continue, get a price for a system, and find out when I can start installing one in my home.
Very good.
John Slangerup is with us. Visit the website clearedgepower.com. Put on your green shirt and with a green collar. Apply for a job there. There could be a future for you. We'll take a break and return. If you want to join us, lines are available at 888-5-PETER-B.
I'm Todd Hornick, your local candidate for Monterey County Judge. When you cast your ballot, I'd like you to consider the following. I'm the only candidate who has actually worked in the Monterey County courts, and I have devoted the last 14 years of my professional career to the service of this community. I have earned near universal law enforcement support, from firefighters to court clerks to the Herald, Californian, and Weekly endorsements, all of which are firmly based on my local experience and knowledge. I promise to earn your respect every day as your newest Superior Court judge and humbly ask for your vote. ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good afternoon and happy Halloween, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in King City on Espinosa Road, just east of Highway 101, we have a traffic collision with no further details. Taking a look at Club Road at Sloat Road, there was a traffic collision with no injuries. A CHP unit is on the way. On Highway 16 at Carmel Knowles Drive, there was a traffic collision with no injuries. taking a look at Santa Cruz on Highway 17 at the East Santa Clara County line, we have a lane closure due to poor weather conditions. Lane number 2 should be open in the next hour or so. On northbound Highway 17, just south of Sims Road, there is a traffic hazard. CHP is on the scene there. Now for some weather. Your forecast for tonight is cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows are in the mid-50s. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great Halloween, and remember to vote. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with John Slangerup. He is president and CEO of Clear Edge Power, and their fuel cell technology is ultra clean and more efficient than current systems. It sounds very exciting. And, John, I live in Marin County just north of San Francisco. We're in the process of forming a joint powers authority, and under California law, we can now set up our own little mini power system in the county. And it will permit us to shift to renewable energy sources, and I won't be able to control exactly, you know, which electrons come into my house and make sure that they didn't come from coal, but it's an effort to shift the mix by allowing consumers to choose what they get. And one of the elements of it is that if I can generate power through solar or wind on my property and I generate an excess, then I can feed it back to the grid and actually get paid for it. And I'm wondering how your fuel cell would fit into the Marin Clean Energy Plan as it's being developed.
Well, it would fit well because, as you know, solar is a great technology, but it tends to be more of a peak shaving technology. In other words, operating when the sun shines. And a fuel cell has the benefit of running 24/7 as a baseload application. So, in my view, solar and fuel cells are extremely compatible technologies that in a complete system really offers the best of all worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it operates just like a solar installation in terms of feeding energy into the grid and then being able to draw from that if you need that is a perfect combination. So I think, yes, it could work well in such a situation, and many of our customers already have solar, and they're adding our fuel cell as more of a 24-hour baseload system. And, of course, mm-hmm. the thing we didn't talk about was that, you know, if there's an interruption in the grid,
yeah.
These fuel cells continue to operate so long as you have a source of the fuel.
Yeah. Now, what does it cost? If I have a 1,500-square-foot home and I currently have a gas-powered forced air furnace, what would the transition cost me? What's the hardware cost me?
The hardware sells for about $9 a watt, which is comparable to solar on an installed basis. So
mm-hmm.
our larger system costs about $45,000, and, of course, as you know, in California, that's rebated by about $2.50 a watt, or about $12,500, and then of course you get the federal tax credit on top of that, which is a substantial reduction in your taxes by about 10% of the purchase price. So that's another $5,000. So by the time you add it all up for 5 kilowatts, which is a big system,
mm-hmm.
It's about $27,500.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's not onerous. It's an actual very cost effective investment in that much energy.
And you have units ready to install today. This isn't like coming in 2015 or something.
No. Actually, we're out in the field now with them, and we are we have about 120 projects under contract right now, and we are deploying these things by next summer we should have 300-400 deployed.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really exciting. So people can go to your website, clearedgepower.com, and get more information. And I see a toll-free number here. Is this the right one to give out, the 877-257-3343?
That's a good number.
Okay, that one works. So if people want to get more information, I think this is a very interesting development. And what's exciting, John, is that it is available now. So much of what we talk about is in the pipeline in R&D, and this is something that people can do right now in a very practical way to change their relationship with fossil fuels.
That's right, and it's going to accelerate over the next couple of years as other companies come forward with these new energy technologies, because quite candidly, up until now, we really haven't had an environment that really stimulated that kind of investment in such technology. So we're excited that change is afoot, and that with the recent State of California initiatives, as well as some of the federal things like the extension of the tax credits for
solar,
fuel cells and wind and solar and so forth. I mean, all of it's shaping up to be a very exciting, next really 6-7 years.
John Slangerup, great to meet you. Thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
ClearEdgePower.com. They're hiring.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Shopping, voting, and economic inevitability. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. As you've heard, consumer spending dropped, which means that one more quarter will make it official. We'd be in a recession caused by Americans not consuming enough. When you hear that, you think, well, what would fix it would be if there was more shopping. But wait, we've been told that what got us into this was too much credit. Credit which was used for too much shopping. Even though once upon a time, not too long ago, shopping and shopping for its own sake was the patriotic thing to do. Not anymore. Now thrift is in, even if it causes a recession. But even weirder is that at the same time consumer spending was down, one area of spending was way up. Politics. The presidential campaigns will bring in over $1 billion for the first time ever, and the turnout in some places could reach 90%. And why? Because the election has become a battle between two seemingly incompatible positions. Whether government is the solution to the problem, a position allegedly represented by Barack Obama, or the cause of the problem, a position allegedly represented by John McCain. But there's an assumption there, and that is that there is anything anyone can really do about any of this. The business people I talk to tell me that one way or the other, the bill's going to be paid, it's going to be paid by everybody, and it won't be pretty. So that, in fact, what we may actually be voting on is who gets the blame or the credit for what would have happened anyway. And, of course, whether the next presidential library will be in Illinois or Arizona. Now this.
Hi, I'm David James. I'm an expert to the world in spirituality.
There are millions of experts who are brilliant in the kind of things everyone needs answers to.
Hi, my name is Larry Doan. I'm an immigration lawyer in Los Angeles.
Now you can chat with them live, online, and benefit from their knowledge.
Hi, I'm Jamie Parker, a public relations specialist and an expert to the world on LivePerson.com.
There's a world of experts on LivePerson.com. Chat live. It's free to start. LivePerson.com, a world of experts.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Bruce Fine returns to our program today. His new book is called Constitutional Peril. Fine has been on our program more than 10 times over the last year and a half or so. He is a principled Republican who served with some distinction in the Reagan administration, and he also served as FCC counsel for a while. He was on the Clinton impeachment team, not on the defense side, and he has been outspoken in his criticism of the constitutional violations committed by the Bush administration. And he's one of the few Republicans who has openly supported impeachment for Cheney and Bush. Bruce Fine, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you for the invitation, Peter.
Always good to talk with you. And we've decided to name this segment Constitutional Counter-Revolution. And that's something I can get behind, Bruce. We really need to restore constitutional rule to this country.
We certainly do, Peter. I can just identify four major flagrant violations that are ongoing and have not elicited protests from either Republicans or Democrats. The first is the idea of presidential wars, presidents initiating war on their own without having Congress directly mandated that. The Founding Fathers feared that a single man would inflate danger because in wartime the president gets the power, he gets the secrecy, he gets the money, he gets the appointment, he gets the fame. And they worried that an executive authorized to initiate war would have the country perpetually at war like we are at present with international terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a Congress that has Joe Biden, the Democratic vice presidential nominee who architects the 2002 authorization, giving to Bush, delegating to President Bush the decision whether to initiate war in Iraq. And Biden says, oh, my, he just didn't understand that he was delegating this great momentous decision to someone who was reckless.
Yeah.
That shows you the featness of the Congress. So that's the first area. The second one is the president, without even getting a rebuke on the Karl Rove front, has said that he can prevent White House officials and aides from even appearing before Congress. If he says that he'd like to maintain secrecy, a power that would have enabled Richard Nixon to have silenced John Dean about the Watergate cover-up offenses. Third, the president has claimed that he can violate any law that restricts his ability to gather foreign intelligence,
mm-hmm.
meaning that he can commit torture, breaking and entering, flouting the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, anything with impunity. And fourth, he's claimed this authority to detain U.S. citizens, non-citizens, as enemy combatants without accusation or charge or even a right to a lawyer, and just to hold them indefinitely until an endless war on terrorism ends. These are just flagrant violations of the Constitution. These are not quibbles that destroy our Republican form of government and fairness that need to be rectified urgently if we're going to get the Constitution the Founding Fathers gave us.
Now, Bruce Fine, you just enumerated four critical areas where there have been clear violations of our Constitution and intentional violations at that committed by Bush and his subordinates. And I'd like you to listen now to a two-minute clip from a radio interview 2 days ago conducted in San Francisco. And Cindy Sheehan, who is running as an independent against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi for her 8th district seat, was given a brief opportunity. Pelosi has refused to debate her or anybody else in the race. There is a Republican candidate as well. But on the public radio station in San Francisco, they permitted Cindy Sheehan to ask a question, and it's about impeachment. And I'd like you to hear Speaker Pelosi's answer.
Well, we've got a caller here who I think may be familiar to you, Speaker Pelosi. It's Cindy Sheehan on the on the
Good morning,
line.
Cindy.
Good morning, Ms.
Good morning
Pelosi.
To you.
Nice to talk to you.
My pleasure. Well, first you answered the question about the debate, which I think that you, if you really cared about the voters in San Francisco, you could find an hour to debate your opponents, because you do have some opponents here in San Francisco. You haven't had a town hall meeting.
So, Cindy Sheehan, you had a question you wanted to ask the speaker.
I do.
Let me just interject here that that's Michael Krasny, a man who I respect, and I'm disappointed that he kind of conducted this interview in a way that was favorable to the speaker and disadvantaged Cindy Sheehan. Nevertheless, here at his prompting is Ms. Sheehan's question.
Over 60% of this district in 2006 voted for an impeachment resolution, and I just want to know why you haven't represented the people of your district and why you haven't impeached George Bush and Dick Cheney, and you still have time.
All right, thank you for that direct question.
Thank you, Cindy. First, may I commend Cindy for her race for Congress and, again, express the respect that I have for her courage in speaking out and what she believes in. So articulately.
And I just can't help interject here. Speaker Pelosi just acted like Cindy Sheehan's running for Congress against somebody else.
the issue of impeachment is a very controversial one in my own caucus and certainly in the country. The idea that if we disagree with the president, we should begin impeachment proceedings is one that is, again, controversial. There are those who believe they have the evidence that the president would be convicted if impeached. I don't know that we have seen that. I have said that the people who would like to see the president impeached the most are the Republicans. They would have loved to see the Democrats, as soon as we took power, go down the path of impeaching the president, dividing the country, and neglecting what we wanted to do on minimum wage and children's health and veterans' benefits and the rest of that, because it would have totally consumed the Congress. It is, again, controversial, but if I honestly believed that the president had violated the Constitution of the United States, and if my colleagues believe that, I think you would have seen the president impeached.
Now, that last line is a doozy. After using the word controversial three times, she basically said that she has not seen evidence that would lead to impeachment. Otherwise, it would have happened kind of magically, Bruce Fine, as if she did not interject herself and prevent Chairman Conyers at the Judiciary Committee from fully investigating the possibility of impeachment.
Yes, her comments are truly preposterous, and it may be too strong to call them nauseating, but not much short of that. She's displayed just gross ignorance of the Constitution. You know, she says if she thought the Constitution had demonstrated through its standards impeachable offenses, she'd go for. Well, the Constitution clearly understood by the Founding Fathers, if she ever took the time to actually read the Constitutional Convention debates and the ratification debates, that if a president deceives Congress, as he did over Iraq, about weapons of mass destruction, about miniaturizing nuclear weapons, about al-Qaeda being joined at the hip with Saddam, and gets the country into war for that reason, that is an impeachable offense. Now, Pelosi knows that. Everybody knows that. There isn't any doubt about that. Pelosi knows that he violated the FISA law because he told Pelosi years ago, before we knew it, from a leak to the New York Times. So her argument that there's no impeachable offenses that are evident on the face of the record is preposterous unless she's too dumb to understand what the Constitution is, which she's not permitted to because she takes an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, let me also address this utterly ridiculous idea that it's the Republicans who want the impeachment process to go forward.
Yeah.
Numerous occasions and before the House Judiciary Committee on this issue, and not a single Republican has anything but hostile questions to ask of me, and the Democrats are much more sympathetic. It just shows, Peter, that she is so far in a state of delusion that she is making up Alice in Wonderland tales to try to defend her very defeat and indefensible position on impeachment.
And Bruce Fine, let me just offer to amplify what you just said. In the very hearing, the almost impeachment hearing this August, that Chairman Conyers convened and at which you testified, Dan Lundgren, the Republican congressman from District 3 near Sacramento, piped up and clearly was running interference for the White House and for Republicans in general, because he was really afraid of the idea of impeachment. So he could only offer a kind of derision and contempt for the process. process and a lot of snarky, smarmy remarks about it, but it was very clear that his motivation was that he was determined to snuff out any effort toward impeachment that might develop in that hearing.
You're absolutely right. I say I felt it tangibly because I was in the room.
Yeah.
And you know, listen to Nancy Pelosi talk, you wonder whether she's been Rip Van Winkle for the, you know, since 2006, other than saying impeachment is off the table. I mean, doesn't she think that committing torture is a crime? And that Bush has conceded that there's been at least two or three Al-Qaeda detainees who suffered waterboarding, which was prosecuted as a torture by the United States as recently as World War II against the Japanese, who did that to United States soldiers. And so we come back to this issue. The gist of what Nancy Pelosi said, that in my judgment makes her totally unqualified to sit in Congress, is that what she was worried about was the fate of the Democrats and their ability to vote minimum wage or whatever. I don't want to deride minimum wage laws or anything like that, yeah. But the hope that she has to the Constitution, not to minimum wage laws, not to health care. The Constitution of the United States is her first loyalty. She threw that oath out the window and said, all I care about is the Democratic Party.
Well, and I concur, Bruce, because I certainly don't object to the minimum wage issue and some of the other legislation that Pelosi has been able to pass. But she makes a specious argument that impeachment of any sort would have completely consumed the Congress and divided the country. Now, you were there as one of the chief lieutenants of the impeachment effort against Bill Clinton. And the nation didn't grind to a halt. I didn't find it, overly divisive. Certainly it was very political as it played out. But it did not leave us with a government that wasn't able to function, nor did it divide the American people in a way that you know, I consider to be remarkable.
No, exactly right. And go back to Nixon, where I was equally involved in that impeachment proceeding. The laws were enacted. The endangered species laws, you had new regulatory laws enacted throughout the impeachment inquiry extended a little bit longer than in Clinton's because you didn't have the special prosecutor then. But there were a whole raft of laws that were passed, including we had the Yom Kippur War. And the United States didn't get crippled, it didn't crumble. And indeed, at the end of the impeachment proceedings, it was President Ford who said that our nightmare is over. Now we're unified.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that impeachment necessarily is convulsive as, you know, beheading Louis XVI, you know, at the French Revolution is utterly absurd and counterfactual. It's just another excuse for Pelosi. And you've got to ask, why is she doing this, Peter? And I come back. It's because she herself is compromised in some of the impeachable offenses. Bush alerted her early on as part of the congressional leadership that he was doing torture, that he was violating FISA, and she said nothing. Nothing came out until things were leaked to the New York Times. She knows how embarrassed she would be to try to blame Bush for these items when she said nothing, even though she knew about it.
Yeah. Bruce Fine is with me. His new book is called Constitutional Peril, subtitled The Life and Death Struggle for Our Constitution and Democracy. We'll take a break and return in just a moment. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you're listening on the weekend in San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, or Missoula, your best bet is to email me. That's humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Good afternoon. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. A deer has been hit on Route 16 at Carmel Knolls Drive. It is still alive and on the side of the road, so watch out. CHP is on the way. In Santa Cruz, on northbound Highway 17, just south of Sims Road, there is a traffic.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
We just tell just to finish up on that traffic before start was interrupted. Yeah, we have the one car mill on Highway 17, the south of Central San Cruz. Have a great afternoon. We'll turn you now to Peter Recon.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Continue with constitutional attorney Bruce Fine. His new book, as we mentioned, is called Constitutional Peril, The Life and Death Struggle for Our Constitution and Democracy. And Bruce and I are conspiring on a little constitutional counter-revolution in this country. And Bruce, like you, I feel that this is the really preeminent task that we have with a new administration and a new Congress coming in January. And I put it in very simple terms. Whenever I talk to a member of Congress, I say, I want my Fourth Amendment back. And Bruce, there's a powerful new book by James Bamford called The Shadow Factory. Have you had any exposure to that?
Yes, and I know James Bamford. He's written about the National Security Agency for long years, probably the foremost national expert on their details of operation.
Indeed, and we've been talking about the book. Jim was on the show. Also, Mark Klein was on with us yesterday. He was the AT&T employee in San Francisco who noticed the secret room that had been built to divert communications through a switch. And what Bamford details in this book is chilling, Bruce, the extent to which our Constitution has just been violated and violated intentionally by the NSA, by President Bush, as he authorized these illegal programs on an ongoing basis. We know about the scene in the hospital where Ashcroft had a moment of courage. I can only say that it certainly improved my perception of the former attorney general to know that he refused, even as a very sick man, to further collaborate in the illegal spying program that was underway. But my first question to you is as you read the book, I kept asking myself, if any member of Congress who voted for this bad FISA amendments law this year had read this book, then they either don't care about the Constitution and our rights to privacy and rights to probable cause, or they're part of the problem.
Well, they're part of the problem. The fact is, Peter, most members of Congress couldn't recite more than a handful of words out of the Constitution. When they take their constitutional oath, they really don't know what they're pledging to. Most of them are completely indifferent to the Constitution in any statesmanlike way. It's good as long as it helps their political party or standing. Otherwise, they might as well trash it. And what you stated really is much too generous in terms of what little attention they gave to the Fourth Amendment in passing the new FISA law, because the president is still maintains that he can flout it anyway.
Yeah.
There are no limits on his ability to gather foreign intelligence. He'll try, because I testified on these bills. He says, well, I hope I can comply, but if I really can't, then I'm not going to comply, but I'm not going to tell you when I don't comply. You'll be able to read it maybe in the New York Times if there's a leak out there. That's the first thing. It's not even the law that they passed is worthless because the president says I'm flouted any time I feel like it. As bad as the law is, which basically is a group warrant saying you can spy on anybody if your formula says they might be abroad rather than the United States.
Well, but what Bamford shows us is that they're not even observing those modest protocols. They're intercepting every communication point to point in the United States. And once they have it, we don't know what they do with it. But
they say, oh, we don't read all of it because the volume is too great to read all of it. And so their argument is as long as we don't read the conversation, then there's no Fourth Amendment issue. They're just looking at particular words or patterns or whatever. How can you police that? How do you know? We just trust them not to read the words? Do we know what happened at the passport office, you know, with the government bureaucrats looking at people's passports?
Right.
They're going to do this any chance they get, just out of curiosity or otherwise, aside from the political vendettas that might be launched.
And if I put this in a metaphor of a burglary, Bruce Fine, they're not allowed to break into my house without a warrant and take documents, say a diary, and just take them and say, well, don't worry, we're not going to read it. we're just taking your private property into our possession, but don't worry, we probably won't read it.
Yeah, we'll shut our eyes or whatever. We'll forget real quickly, you know. And it says, listen, but Peter, it's all over the place. Right now the Customs Service says that you take your laptop across the border coming in, you know, they can go read every darn thing, every mail, every little jot you wrote down, like your diary, without any cause whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they'll decide whether to keep it and keep copies of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Fourth Amendment and privacy, your free speech and thoughts are now open for government inspection if you cross the border coming back in. They want to look at your laptop.
Yeah.
Again, there's no congressional outroar. There are no hearings. There are no statutes. They don't really care. The idea is, well, right now it's most likely the targets will be people whose names are hard to pronounce, like Boumediene or Hamdan. It's not Smith and Jones yet, so we'll worry about that when we're at the cliff. You know, when we're already close to tyranny, that's the time to think about it. They're highly irresponsible and really quite disgusting. But, Peter, we've got to make congressional campaigns pivot on these issues. We've got to tell a member of Congress, if you don't vote that way, I'm not going to vote for you. If you don't impeach a president for doing these violations, then you don't deserve to be in Congress. Because, really, one of the things that's different between Bush, Cheney, and Nixon is everything's open and above board. As flouting as they are of the Constitution, at least we know it's happening. And what's really disgusting is with that knowledge, Congress sits there and fiddles like Nero as the Constitution burns.
Yeah. And Bruce Fine, the New York Times reporting on Friday that during the 2004 election year, more than 2,500 non-citizens were subject to a special investigation program. Not one of them was found to have any terrorist connections or have violated laws of those types. They did deport some of these people. And this was after they said that the investigations were conducted without regard to race, ethnicity, or religion. And now the records show that 79% of the suspects were from Muslim-majority countries.
Yes. Again, the denial of what's undeniable, that they clearly used racial and religious profiling in order to conduct these things. And the other thing that is recurrent, Peter, is all these claims that you have these terrible, terrible people out there when they actually have to expose their claims to the light of day and have due process in a trial. Not all of them, but most all of them evaporate, which shows the need for having due process. Right now that's happening with these military commissions. Oh, someone was charged with plotting to bring in a radiation bomb with Jose Padilla. They get ready for trial and say, oops, sorry, now we don't have any evidence. We'll charge them with something else, like he trained in a camp in Afghanistan and never shot an American ever.
Yeah.
You know, well, we need military commissions for that, for, you know, being, you know, an Osama's driver or chef.
Right.
And this is utterly ridiculous.
Bruce, and about 30 seconds remaining here, what should we do aside from, you know, pushing our political figures at election time? What can we do to regain our Fourth Amendment rights?
The only way we can do that is what you've claimed, what you've suggested. We have to insist Congress reenact the statutes. We've got to go to the courts and challenge these, although sometimes it's difficult because the government doesn't tell you when they spy on you and you have your conversations intercepted, so it's difficult to satisfy what's called the standing requirement.
That's right.
But ultimately, it's us. If we have our voices heard, Peter, Congress will react. I was in the members' offices on that Monday that the bailout was voted down. It was voted down for one reason, because the citizens were sending in faxes and emails and calls at hundreds every hour.
Bruce Fine, I'm out of time. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk again. Constitutional Peril is his new book. Get it. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Peter.
We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation. That's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. How important is Ohio in this election? John McCain's been there so much he might be able to establish residency. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein has the latest on Campaign 08.
John McCain is spending a second day driving by bus through Ohio.
America is worth fighting for. We never give up. We never quit.
It's a state where the polls show him well behind.
Now let's go win this election and get this country moving again.
Barack Obama campaigned in Iowa, a state that looks strongly Democratic this year.
We've got to go ahead and win this election. We're going to do it right here in Iowa, here in Des Moines.
Obama holds a late-night rally in Indiana, a state that still looks too close to call. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger campaigned with McCain in Columbus. He played action heroes in the movies, but said McCain is the real action hero.
He has been tested on the torture, on the deprivation, on the temptation, and on the isolation. John has proven what kind of a man he is. We don't have to wonder, is he ready to lead? We don't have to wonder, is he ready to be president of the United States?
Obama hopes to make inroads in traditionally Republican states. He's expanded his advertising in Georgia, North Dakota, and even McCain's home state, Arizona. A memorable month on Wall Street ended today with a 144-point gain for the Dow. It closed at 93.25, 1,500 points below where it was on October 1st. CBS News correspondent Allison Harmelin says the market brushed off today's discouraging report on consumer spending.
Closing out the worst month in 21 years, so any good news has been taken as light at the end of the tunnel. Lots of people here just looking for a little reason to be optimistic this Halloween. In the meantime, there's a real sense that we're in a holding pattern until the presidential election on Tuesday.
The government says personal spending dropped 0.3% in September. Standard & Poor's economist Bethann Bovino isn't surprised.
With loss of jobs, lower home prices, and just fear. It looks like consumers are scared and staying home.
She expects that to continue right through the holiday season. The price of oil rose today, settling just under $68 a barrel, but analyst Matt Zeman of LaSalle Futures in Chicago says the trend is downward.
If crude starts breaking back down into the 50s, we could see $50 a barrel crude in the near future. But I do think at this point crude will probably hold somewhere around the 60 level going forward.
AAA says the national average for gasoline is down to $2.50 a gallon. Author, activist, and master interviewer Studs Terkel has died in Chicago. He was 96. Here he is last year on his 95th birthday.
People ask, what is your epitaph, Studs?
What will be your epitaph? Epitaph is a simple one. Curiosity did not kill this cat.
This is CBS News.
Hey guys, if your closet could talk, it'd tell you to get to the men's store inside JCPenney. Right now at the men's store, you'll find great deals like 40 to 50% off casual shirts, sweaters, and fleece. Perfect for fall because when the weather is crisp, you should look sharp. Plus, save 50% on jackets and flannel shirts. And choose from great brands like Dockers, Van Heusen, St. John's Bay, and Haggar. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
What would Halloween be without a spooky ghost story? CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has come to haunt us.
Too many disturbances at Kathleen Whitehurst's home in Almondville, Louisiana.
I kept blaming on the wind, the trees, squirrels running all over the house, possums.
So she got a ghost specialist who came from Arkansas and said a spirit is right there with those three gothic windows that you got from a church.
He was holding on to these windows.
The expert went into a trance. Whitehurst says there was a zapped feeling, and then...
boom, he was gone.
And that ghost hasn't been back since. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Kids dress as witches, devils, and ghouls, but an eighth grader in Paramus, New Jersey, went to school today dressed as Jesus. Alex Wojanski was sent home from school. Officials say they don't allow costumes that would create a distraction in class. Alex was told the robe and sandals were okay, but the fake beard and the crown of thorns had to go. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to put your energy bill on ice. Step 1. Head to the Home Depot. Step 2. Pick up a more energy-efficient Energy Star refrigerator for 10% off. Step 3. Open your new energy bill. Voila! Much cooler.
Right now, get 10% off all appliances of $299 or more. And to help save you even more, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 items throughout the store. At the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Ends November 5th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. 6 minutes into the hour. In just a few days, our electoral nightmare will be, well, we want to think it's going to be over, but we're probably going to be in the thick of it. Voters are being suppressed. Lines are long. Machines are breaking down. Will we have a result on election night? And will we have confidence in the result whenever we get it? Time we talk about election issues with our go-to guy. Brad Friedman is the citizen journalist, publisher, and does everything over there at bradblog.com. Brad, how you doing today?
Oh,
I'm hanging in there. You know, I was so angry last week when I was on the show with you that I have hopefully I've tuckered myself out in the week since.
Well, keep the passion there, keep the outrage, because we've got to fight and, you know, make people alert and vigilant. And if necessary, we need the post-election teams to kick into action even before the polls close on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because the evidence is out there of very serious efforts to manipulate the election, to control who can vote, whose votes are counted, who gets a provisional ballot, and what happens to that. And so we need people to be very alert and aware, not just like sheep or sheeple, and go to the polls and do your thing. You've got to be aware. Look at the process that occurs. Make sure that everything that you do when you check in and when you get your ballot and when you hand it off or enter it into the scanner, if that's the case, you've got to make sure that everything operates in a kosher way. And, of course, some people, Brad, we're seeing accounts from all over the country, mm-hmm. are getting that Election Day surprise when they show up for early voting and find out that their name is not on the list.
Yeah, you know, and I was just on, by the way, another show. Leslie Marshall sends her regards.
Oh, great. How's Leslie?
She's doing well. She wanted me to stick around beyond the top of the hour. I said, uh-uh. If it's Friday, it must be Peter B., so I had to go.
Well, thank you.
But in any case, the producer of the show actually came on while I was on and said, and I was, of course, warning about that November surprise where people are going to show up, find they're no longer on the rolls, and telling people, as I do, that, you know, hey, just because you voted in the primary, don't think that you're going to still be on the rolls. Do what you can to check. Call your registrar. Get in there. Vote early at this point if you have to, because then you can take a mulligan if it turns out you're not on there. The producer came on and said, yeah, that happened to me. I just voted in the primary, and then I went in to do early voting, and I was told I was no longer on the rolls. This is real. This happened also. I got a call the other day from our friend Bree Walker,
mm-hmm.
Who was also found that she was purged.
Wow.
So I'm quite concerned about what's going to happen on Tuesday. But you're right. People are a lot more awake. They're out there. They are on the ground now. We're already, you know, getting video of problems, and we're having them, you know, 10-hour waits down in Georgia. Long 4, 5, 6 hour waits down in Florida, and to his credit, Charlie Crist has extended the voting hours down there finally.
Mm-hmm.
This after the Republicans had shortened them previously. And it was interesting because when that happened, when he, Charlie Crist down in Florida declared the extended hours, a Republican consultant immediately said, Crist has just given away the election in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a pretty straight idea of how Republicans right now are thinking. They're going to limit voting hours, access, anything they can in any way that they can. And, again, as you point out correctly, it's going to be up to the people to raise hell, to make noise about what's going on when it goes on, not in the days after, not in the weeks, the months, the years after, as you and I have been doing, but as soon as possible, raise those alarms, raise hell. And I'm proud to say, by the way, I will be joining you once again for election Eve this year.
Well, election
exactly that.
Yeah, election day on Tuesday, and I want to get this information out, particularly for some of our weekend listeners in Seattle, Portland, and Missoula. On Tuesday, November 4th, Brad and I will co-anchor in my usual time period, 3 to 6 p.m. It'll be available on our regular outlets, plus KPHX AM in Phoenix. It will be streamed on our regular site. The link is there at peterbcollins.com. There will be additional streaming available at Nova M. Is it Nova M Radio or just NovaM.com?
NovaMRadio.com.
Okay, NovaMRadio.com. And we may pick up other last-minute affiliates for our coverage between now and Tuesday. But we invite you to join us through any means that you can listen,
yeah.
And also to call in with any reports that you have about anomalies in your polling place or things that you have observed in your community related to voting issues. We want to make this a kind of election central about the voting process itself. We probably won't be giving you a lot of information about returns, particularly before the polls close in California. But we will give you information about the election process itself and any critical issues that surface in the what is expected to be very huge turnout for Tuesday's polling.
Indeed. And as you say, you know, we'll give numbers when they become available from that horse race. But it's the track conditions that, you know, go underreported everywhere else. And so that's why, you know, we're going to do what we're going to do. And I invite anyone and everyone. I'm actually going to be at it for a bunch of hours on election night. And we're trying to invite folks to pick up the coverage. We're going to make it available to the whole wide world and try to counter some of the talking head nonsense that you'll likely be hearing on, you know, the cable channels and everywhere else on the radio dial.
Right. And to be explicit, Brad will be on with me, and then he'll be on with Mike Malloy. And then after 9 p.m. Pacific time, Brad will be on solo into the middle of the night there, as long as I think there is interest and he still has some Red Bull.
Indeed. I'm currently planning to anchor and or co-anchor some 9 hours on election night via Peter B's show, obviously, and the NovaMradio.com network.
All right. So that's going to be great, and we invite everybody to participate. Now, this hour, we welcome your phone calls. If you have any last-minute questions about the voting process, about questions that might be on your mind, about the way things are being conducted in your county or your precinct, we welcome your calls at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And also, a little bit later this hour, you'll hear the voice of Governor Christine Gregoire of Washington State. She had a very narrow victory. I think ultimately it was about 350 votes 4 years ago. And Dino Rossi is the guy who ran against her that time. They're locked in a rematch this year. And we'll hear Governor Gregoire talk about her concerns about the voting process and some of the issues that have come up. So that's going to be on the air a little bit later. So I want you to stay tuned for that. And speaking of Washington State, Roger is on the line from Vashon Island. Hello, Roger. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Big admirer, first-time caller. I just want to say one of the most galling acts in Ohio 2004 that Brad wrote extensively about was the anti-democracy vote thieves of Warren County, Ohio, who shut out the public and the media from witnessing vote counting by claiming that there was a Homeland Security warning that had warned them of an attack. And I'm just wondering if, Brad, if you or somebody else you might know, like Bob Petrakis or Greg Palast or somebody else, might be planning to camp out in Warren County this time around to see if those vote thieves try to pull something like this time around.
Well, I actually spoke to Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner about exactly that some weeks ago. She assures me that this time around that ain't going to happen. They're going to be keeping very close eyes on things like that. And, you know, it's nice to have a new sheriff in town, frankly. You know, she hasn't done everything perfectly, but I'll tell you, she's really been I've become more and more impressed with the work that she's done on behalf of the voters in Ohio. I think there's no reason to rest easy about what's going on in Ohio, but I rest a little bit more comfort knowing that there's actually a good guy in charge rather than Ken Blackwell. And by the way, we've got some breaking news. We probably should hold it until after the break, but we've got
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
You want to run it?
Yep, now.
Mike Connell, the fella who had been subpoenaed, who was in charge of the servers on election night in 2004, very far right-wing company, he had been recently subpoenaed in a case going back to the 2004 election that had been lifted. The stay had been lifted. He was trying to dodge that subpoena. He was compelled to appear today in federal court in Ohio, and he did show up, and the judge has ordered him to show up for a deposition next Monday, I believe, at 10:30 a.m. in Ohio. and they fought like hell against it, but we'll have some information about that shortly, as soon as I get off the air, at bradblog.com on that very important case, which could lead to a deposition of one Karl Rove, if things move forward as some of the folks working on the case suspect.
That's very wonderful news, Brad. I have a Google News alert out on Mike Connell and Michael Connell, and I've been following that every day, hoping that this would break. And it's funny that waiting for Google News to tell me, you might know, I'd hear about it straight from you while I'm on the phone. That's great.
And I want to remind
people that one of Connell's motivations for doing what he allegedly did was his desire to quote unquote protect the unborn babies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Roger, what I liked about what you just said is that you set up a Google alert for either one of his names. So you're like a voting official looking for that perfect match.
Right. That's right.
That's right. I hope he's not registered as Mike Connell and his driver's license says Michael Connell, because he'll get thrown off the rolls if he's down in Florida.
Yeah. Hey, Roger, would you like a copy of the DVD, Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies?
I would love it. I got a buddy who already has a copy. We're going to be screening it here on Vashon Island next Monday night on Election Eve. We're going to be screening it, and my buddy has a copy, but I would certainly like one for myself.
All right. Well, give Nick your address. We'll mail one out to you next time I go to the post office, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in today. Your calls and comments are welcome here with Brad Friedman this entire hour. 888-5, Peter B. is our number. That's 888-573-8372. Election protection on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court Judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs, and investigators, in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at toddhornickforjudge.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Thank you. Good afternoon and happy Halloween. This is Fia Karim with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Traffic is looking pretty good this afternoon, but I do have one traffic hazard to tell you about in Santa Cruz. On northbound Highway 17, just south of Sims Road. Otherwise, it's all clear. Enjoy your commute this afternoon. And weather tonight, it's going to be cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows are in the mid-50s. Here are some temperatures for this afternoon. King City is 69 degrees right now. Carmel is 65 and mostly cloudy. Monterey is 75 and mostly cloudy. Salinas is 73 and overcast. Santa Cruz is 60 degrees and overcast. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a happy and safe Halloween, and remember to vote this weekend. Peter B. Collins will be right back.
This is for your own protection. You better make the connection. Cause we ain't gonna let them steal the election.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
So you think this machine is democratic? All slick and clean and automatic. A paperless process right there on the touch screen. But you never hear the tabulator tweaking late at night after you was all sleeping. A wham bam scam and the program flips it from a cane. No way! This is for your own protection. You better make the connection. Cause I ain't gonna let them steal the election. No, we ain't gonna let them steal the election.
Now keep listening here, there's a Brad blog mention.
Is that the right ID there in your wallet? So they give you a provisional ballot. I'm sorry, but your name is the same as a criminal. So tell your uncle and your sister and your mom. Better get yourself off to bradblog.com. So the trolls in control wanna purge you from the rolls at the polls.
That's an inspired, timely tune from Jesse Dion, Steal the Election, with special mention of Brad Friedman and Brad Blog in there.
I'm honored to be there. I should let folks know I did not write that song. I had nothing to do with it, but I absolutely love it, and not just because my name's in it. There's a lot of great lyrics in
that. Yeah.
And he's a great guy, Jesse Dion. Really love his work. And of course, how could I not now that he's written a song with me in it?
Yeah, I love it when people do that. And a few people have put my name in the song. It does make me more likely to play it, no
what
doubt.
What rhymes with Peter B. Collins?
Orange. Still working on that one. Brad Friedman with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And a listener who couldn't stay on the line, Marianne, asked, will Brad still be coming every Friday, even when the election is over? And I have some good news today, because I was able to get some support to extend the life of the Peter B. Collins Show. We have had some problems here financially, and we've been candid about that. A lot of listeners have offered their support, and I'm very grateful for it. You can go to my website at peterbcollins.com and click on the link that says you can help. But somebody did help, and we'll announce more of the details in the coming week when a contract is signed. But it should include the expansion into the Northeast United States for the Peter B. Collins Show. And so it's a win-win package, and I'm delighted about that. And I'll answer the question. I'll be inviting Brad back every Friday. We had this discussion after the election in 2006, and I said, well, you know, as long as there's still stuff to talk about, we'll have Brad on, and there's been no break in the action.
There has, and I'll tell you, I would be delighted to not have to be here every Friday. If there is a break in the action, that would be quite nice for me. But, no, I don't suspect there will be, and as long as you'll have me, I'll be here.
All right. Well, the feeling's mutual. Lawrence in Berkeley's got an interesting question. Welcome, Lawrence. You're on the PBC show with Brad Friedman.
Hello. I love your show.
Thank you.
It doesn't seem to me that voter caging and voter suppression is going to stop until the people who are doing it start going to jail. That being the case, suppose you go to your ballot, your voting place, and there are people who are stopping you from voting, stopping other people from voting. You go consult a lawyer who says, now this is illegal. They're, following a certain pattern. Can you swear out a citizen's arrest on these people? Can you have them put away for doing what they're doing?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I've long been arguing that we have become an outlaw nation here with the bodies that used to bring accountability pretty much all but disappearing. It's tough, and every time we come to an election, I want to give credit to folks like John Bonifaz over at voteraction.org, and certainly Cliff Arnebeck out there in Ohio and Bob Petrakis for, bringing these lawsuits, but they are expensive, it's very difficult, and a lot of these attorneys out there, it would be nice if we could get more pro bono election attorneys, but it's very tough to get them. We do need more of them.
And Lawrence, the best advice I'd give you, if you see something is like that, use your camera phone or a video camera, record as much as you can, and report it to the authorities. Thank you very much. If you want to hold on, we'll talk to you more.
Okay.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
I'm Kevin McGibbon, and I'm running for Cabrillo College Trustee. Cabrillo College is a great part of our Mid-County community. It's a launching pad for university education, and Cabrillo offers needed trade education to support local business, all the while giving its students a chance to afford our cost of living. Over time, as our local economic base grows and changes, Cabrillo becomes that much more important to prepare students for the job market, as well as to local businesses that need new talent. I, Kevin McGibbon, pledge to push Cabrillo's establishment as an innovation center, as a way to source new revenue, attract students, new business, and to take advantage of new facilities that taxpayers have so graciously funded for so long. I'll provide leadership to expand access to a Cabrillo education to underserved students in Santa Cruz County. And I'll challenge Cabrillo to be the first carbon-neutral community college in California. Embracing a green approach will cut costs, generate opportunities for educational programs, and uncover new revenue sources. Let's make Cabrillo even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Just add to the list there, Peter B. supports free and fair elections in the United States. Somebody keep an eye on the detectives, will you? 888-5-PETER-B. If you have a question about the election process, your eligibility to vote, and those kinds of things, Brad Friedman will tackle it. 888-5-PETER-B. My favorite line in there is about how she's filing her nails while they're dragging the lake. What an image that is. We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Just one more mention on Election Day. Brad and I will be co-anchoring coverage here on the Peter B. Collins Show starting at our regular time, 3 o'clock Pacific. That'll be available for expanded delivery online at our regular streaming site and also at NOPAMradio.com. We'll be on in Phoenix on my old favorite affiliate, KPHX. And then Brad will continue into the evening with Mike Malloy and solo after 9 o'clock Pacific time. And you can catch all that at NOVAMradio.com on Election Day. Lawrence had another comment, and he's still on the line from Berkeley. Hey, Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. It seems that the Democratic Party is going to be fielding thousands of lawyers to be at voting booths. The question is, what can these people do? I mean, ideally, if they see somebody interfering with the vote, they can stop them with the voting officials, but can they go beyond that? And also, if they continue to do it, can you get somebody to swear out a citizen's arrest? You know, can you work with one of these lawyers in order to put these, you know, A, stop these people, and B, put them behind bars?
Well, I can't speak to the citizen's arrest question as much as I love the idea. You'll have to ask an attorney about that and how that actually works. As to the attorneys, these thousands of attorneys, these vaunted attorneys from the Obama and the DNC, they are actually already on the case, and they are already failing at the case, unfortunately. And that's one of the things I was quite worked up about last week when I was on the show. I'm even more worked up since, because I've seen more and more information that is being shared with those attorneys, and information that, frankly, they are not acting on. The time, as I said last week, and I've been saying for weeks, the time is not Election Day to do something. It is long before Election Day. Mm-hmm. We had a bit of good news this week when an election official in Colorado finally did what I've been calling for, which is a voting machine once again. In this case, it was a Diebold voting machine. A touchscreen machine flipped from a voter was trying to vote for the Democrat. It flipped over to a Republican. And instead of going in and inserting a memory cartridge to recalibrate it, as has been the prescription up till now and agreed to by the Democrats, they pulled this machine from service, impounded it, quarantined it, so that it can be investigated later. That's the proper course of action. And the fact that the Democrats are not doing that in state after state where this is happening, in Tennessee, in Texas, Missouri, Colorado, it's happening on Diebold touchscreens, Sequoia touchscreens, ES&S, Hardin or Civic, and they're not taking action. This is incredibly troubling to me, incredibly frustrating. But at least someone finally did it in Colorado with one machine, for what it's worth. But I'm afraid, you know, on election day, there's a very limited set of things that can be done by attorneys. They can intercede in challenges, in purges, and so forth. But by the time we get there, it's all over when it comes to these voting machines, by and large. So that's why it's been quite frustrating for me.
If you see a machine flipping, what you, as a voter, what can you do on the spot?
Well, first, you need to bring your video camera with you before you go to vote. You need to, if you got a cell phone video camera, that works great. When you go to vote, if you have to vote on a touchscreen, videotape that vote as you're voting. Get that footage, and then you go to videothevote.org, and you upload it to them, to YouTube. You let that guy at BradBlog know about it. You call us on the election night special coverage, and let's get the word out and point folks towards that video so they can see this for themselves. You know, for whatever reason, people react when they see it. Oh, upload it to CNN, by the way. They've got their iReport, and they are putting things on the air. Of course, they're misreporting them, but, you know, when you get good footage, it doesn't lie. So that's the thing. That's one of the things that you need to do if you have a vote flipping question. And you need to make noise. You need to tell the election, the poll workers about it right away. You need to turn around in line and tell everyone in that line which machine was flipping and tell them not to use that machine. You need to file a complaint with the registrar, with the Secretary of State, and call as many of those voter hotlines as you can. And there's quite a few of them. I'll give you a couple. 866-MY-VOTE-1. That's the number one. 866-MY-VOTE-1. Or 866-OUR-VOTE, call both of them, call all of them, get the word out, and document it as quickly and as loudly as you can.
All right, Lawrence, thank you very much. Great to have you listening, and I appreciate your call today here at the Peter B. Collins Show. As we mentioned, I caught up with the governor of Washington State in Denver at the Democratic Convention in late August, and I asked her a couple of questions about the razor-thin election that she won after, what, two recounts and 18 lawsuits against Republican Dino Rossi 4 years ago. Rossi is her opponent again this year, and so I asked the governor of Washington a few questions about election integrity. Let's listen.
Here at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, we're joined by Washington's Governor Christine Gregoire. Welcome, Governor.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Now, I do not know a whole lot about the politics of Washington State, but we watched with interest the incredibly close election that you ultimately won. And you got to face the same monster again?
Yes, I'm shocked that 4 years later it's going to be a rematch. But my goal this time is this race is called election night at 8:10. There are no recounts whatsoever. It's a landslide, and we've got four more years.
Well, I'd love to see that for you. Now, reflect a little bit about the process, because every week on my program, we spend an hour talking about election issues, about election integrity, and there continue to be massive problems. Earlier today, I talked to Ohio's Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner, and they did a top-to-bottom review, but, you know, with the election approaching, they're still going to be using some touchscreen voting machines in Ohio this year. What is the status in Washington State of moving to the old, reliable, hand-counted paper ballot?
You know, in 2004, we had a couple of our counties that had touchscreen. And the interesting thing when we did the recount was there was nothing to recount. And that wasn't widely known in the state. But people, obviously, when they found it out later, were very, very concerned.
There's a technical term in Silicon Valley called WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. And when you recount an electronic machine, you get the same garbage you got the first time.
Exactly. And there were a number of complaints by people who would say they voted for a candidate, and on the screen it showed they voted for the opposite candidate. So they would come in and they would take that off the screen. Now, how do we know that vote wasn't counted for the person for whom they did not want the vote? So we've got, by far and away, most of ours are the old style 2.0 and mail-in ballots.
Now, old style, this is you fill in the blank and an optical scanner reads them?
Correct.
Okay.
And we've got most of our counties now are mail-in ballots. Some are poll. We just finished our primary. Only two counties out of 39 were poll sites. All the rest were exclusive mail-in ballots. But what we found 4 years ago, interestingly enough, is while it was so close, it was put under the most scrutiny probably of any election in the country, and the system stood up. The two areas where it was disconcerting was this touchscreen voting. Outside those two areas, it stood up, and it showed that under a lot of scrutiny, a lot of good work was done by the state auditors in each of the respective counties, and they actually could do a good count.
So what's your level of confidence for this November?
You know, I know it's going to be a tough battle because they're throwing the kitchen sink at me. In the primary, which didn't really count for much of anything, they put in $1 million in the last week. Just attack ads that even one newspaper said that the ads just aren't right. They're just not true. So I'm hopeful. I have confidence in the voters of our state are going to see through this and understand amazing things that we've gotten accomplished by anybody's measure. We're now the third state in the country best to do business.
So I'll fade it there. That's where the governor goes into a list of her accomplishments. She didn't really give me a direct response, Brad, to her confidence in the voting process. You notice she has confidence in the voters, but not in the process. Now, she did describe very limited use of touchscreen machines and that primarily the elections in Washington State are mail-in. Let me ask you just to recap your concerns about mail-in ballots, because yesterday I was talking with a listener from Oregon who's a big fan of the mail-in program, and certainly, you know, from a voter's perspective, there are some benefits and advantages. But from a chain of custody point of view and an election integrity point of view, there are questions.
Well, that's right, and there are a lot of things that people don't understand. They think because it's absentee, there's a vote by mail, that there's a paper ballot. Therefore, nothing could possibly go wrong. What they don't understand is that, of course, those ballots are scanned by the same optical scan computer systems that run with, secret software made by private companies that fail time and again. And we see this recently down in Palm Beach, Florida, up in D.C., where they just simply miscount votes. So it's no panacea. Now, to have that paper ballot is obviously a good thing, but when you drop it in the mailbox, when you're voting absentee, you know, that's your first black box you're dropping it into in hopes that it actually shows up,
mm-hmm.
in hopes that it gets counted, in hopes that it gets counted accurately, and it's very difficult to track those absentee ballots. When you vote on election day, if 397 people show up at the polls, they'll be signed in, 397 voters, we know we should have 397 ballots. Often with absentee balloting, all those numbers, all of those ballots get scanned into a super precinct like 9999,
mm-hmm.
and there are thousands and thousands of votes in that super precinct that are very hard then to oversee to assure that all the votes that are supposed to be there are there, and so on and so forth. You also lose privacy along the way. So there are a lot of concerns with mail-in balloting. I think one of the downsides of the work that, that I've been able to do over the years is that people think, well, then if these machines don't work, we'll just do absentee balloting. We're seeing that more and more, and Deborah Bowen is a big fan of vote by mail, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to see more of that, but I'm trying to do whatever I can to fight against that. Vote by on paper ballots, hand-marked at the polling place on election day, if you can. That's how you maximize your chance of having your vote counted and counted accurately. There were a couple of points, though, if I could, in what she said that were interesting.
Yeah, go.
Well, she mentioned that where the problems did exist, they were on touchscreen voting machines. And now that was 4 years ago. We saw those problems, if nothing else, in her race. And yet here we are 4 years later. They've gotten rid of them mostly in Washington. But still, at least one-third of the country is stuck voting on those machines. And those touchscreen machines, whether they have a paper trail or not, as we've talked about many times, are 100% impossible to verify that any vote has ever been recorded on them correctly. And this is a huge problem. The Democrats don't get that. I spoke with one of the NBC's expert, election night expert, Kimball Brace. He doesn't get it. I've spoken to voting machine company officials. I've said, can anybody offer me any evidence that any vote ever cast on a touchscreen machine with or without a paper trail during an election for any candidate or initiative on the ballot has ever been recorded accurately, and nobody has been able to offer a shred of evidence? I think that's troubling. And the fact that we've known about these problems for so many years now and nothing has been done is troubling. Finally, the fact that she says her election 4 years ago in 2004 probably had the most scrutiny of any election in the country, she's probably right. Why? Because it was a Republican who felt he got screwed. They took it to court. They investigated it. They fought it all the way. The Democrats should have done that when they got screwed in Ohio in 2004. And that is to John Kerry and the Democrats' eternal shame.
Amen, Brother Brad. We're going to take a break and return. If you got a question, get on now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll talk about Ohio and Pennsylvania next with Brad Friedman here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in Santa Cruz on Bear Creek Road at Byington Winery, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. Moving over to the Hollister-Gilroy area on Canada Road at Highway 152, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the way there. Now for some weather. Your forecast for tonight is cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows are in the mid-50s. South winds are 10 to 20 miles per hour. On Saturday, we'll have rain in the morning, then periods of showers, and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a happy Halloween, and remember to vote early if you can. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive and Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour.
at this moment, but that's all that matters to me.
And what matters to me is that we have a free and fair election coming up on Tuesday, and the markers show that that's unlikely to happen. We have a lot of voter suppression efforts. We have a lot of voters whose names have been removed from the rolls. And, Brad, Friday's New York Times enumerates that it was 158,000 people in Ohio in 2004 who were given provisional ballots, and we have no evidence that most of those ballots were counted. And this year, they're expecting large numbers of people once again to use provisional ballots, some because of registration issues, and if there are very long lines because of the expected large turnout, then the polls may stay open late. But if they stay open after the ordinary closing time, all the people who vote after that, even if they were in line before the ordinary closing time, are given provisional ballots. And this,
really?
This is a sentence of, well, you know, it leaves you in limbo. You will not know if that ballot's actually counted.
And I had not heard the part about that. Is that in Ohio or is that elsewhere?
It is Ohio. Yeah, it says provisional ballots will also come into play if a huge turnout causes long lines in Ohio, leading lawyers to ask the courts to keep polls open late. When polls are open late, the ballots cast must be provisional.
Well, I missed that little nugget, but I will say there was some good news that came out of that that settlement with Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner. The Republicans were going after her, trying to basically get about 200,000 Ohioans purged from the rolls. Though they may end up voting, being forced to vote on provisional ballot, they've done something very important in this case in setting a precedent, which is, the onus had previously, been on the voter to prove that he or she was who he or she said they were. What the judge has done is he has ordered the officials, the challengers, in other words, to prove that the voter is not who they say they are, or is not legally allowed to vote, that otherwise those provisional ballots in Ohio will be counted. And I think that's an important, it's a nuance, but a really, really important one.
Yeah, that shifts the burden of proof.
Yeah,
now, Brad, I want to shuffle over to Pennsylvania, another critical Midwest battleground state, and we talked about this last week, that there's a trigger point of when the Secretary of State will permit paper ballots to be handed out. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, had a lot of action on that. In fact, some good news here. The NAACP and voteraction.org went to court, sued the Democratic Secretary of State there because he had put out a directive saying that emergency paper ballots did not need to be given out unless every machine, 100% of the machines in a precinct, broke down. Now, Pennsylvania statutory law says the counties can give out paper ballots if just one machine breaks down. But a lot of the counties had misunderstood that, thinking they could only give it out if 100% broke down. The suit they ended up filing called for the directive to be changed to allow paper ballots to go out if 50% or more broke down. That's not great, but at this point we'll take what we can get. And once again, this directive was made about a month ago by the Democratic Secretary of State, and neither Barack Obama nor the DNC did anything about it. So they won that case, and in fact the judge ordered the Secretary of State to change his directive. It's now the 50% or more rule. That's about as good as we're going to get. However, we're getting reports today that counties all over Pennsylvania are not prepared, do not have enough emergency paper ballots to have on hand.
Well, call Kinko's, for God's sake.
Well, you know what? That'll do the trick.
Yeah.
I mean, just get these people paper ballots, because guess what? In the third largest county, Montgomery County, the official was complaining about not having paper ballots today, that he was caught flat-footed by this order, and they used the Sequoia Advantage touchscreen machine, the same one that is in court in New Jersey that lost votes on the primary day and that Princeton has found disenfranchised voters, and can be hacked in about 13 seconds. So that's what we're left with in Pennsylvania, and that could be, you know, it's hard to pick right now where the biggest meltdown is going to be, but Odds are we could be looking at a lot of trouble in Pennsylvania on Election Day.
Here's Pat in Monterey. Go ahead, Pat. You're on with Peter B. and Brad.
Hi. I just have a question. I always vote absentee, so I've learned I'm not supposed to do that. But we had our absentee ballots. My daughter and I took them into unopened and everything, took them into the election center, and because I thought we were supposed to have them voided and then ask for paper ballots, which is what I said. And so basically what they said was, just use these ballots because this is what we're going to give you anyway. And so they had us vote on our absentee ballot, put it in the envelope we would have mailed in, sign the thing, and give it to them. Now, is that correct? Because that was the option we were given.
20 seconds, Brad. Is that kosher?
It sounds right. If you brought them in, if you voted on a regular ballot, if you turned in your if I understood you, you said you turned in the absentee ballot, excuse me, you signed a new one, that's just fine.
All right,
okay.
Pat. Happy voting.
It was the same ballot.
Thanks for listening, Pat. Brad Friedman, thanks for your work. Take the weekend off, will you?
Good luck.
All right, we'll talk to you Tuesday, Election Day.
Look forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
Catch the streaming at NovaMradio.com on Tuesday.
Keep smiling.
Here's Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789, or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
With 4 days out, we need to win Ohio on November 4th, and with your help, we're going to win here.
John McCain spent a second day campaigning in Ohio. He was joined in Columbus by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
John McCain has served this country longer in the POW camp than his opponent has served in the United States Senate.
Barack Obama campaigned in Iowa, then flew to Indiana for a nighttime rally. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds is traveling along.
Obama on the stump is playing it very, very conservatively. He is repeating basically the same speech with some rhetorical variation that he represents change, that John McCain represents 4 more years of George Bush. It has worked for Barack Obama, and this campaign sees no reason now to change anything. Not that they're gliding or coasting, but they believe it works.
Obama keeps telling supporters they can't let up now. CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says there is an invisible man in this election.
George Bush, the incumbent two-term president of the United States, has not appeared at one rally for any Republican candidate in public this year. Now, that's extraordinary. I mean, Republicans just don't want any reminders of this president and the problems that he's been presiding over.
The White House says Mr. Bush is focused on the economic crisis. Consumer spending drives the U.S. economy, but we took our foot off the gas in September. The Commerce Department says spending fell 0.3%, its biggest decline in 4 years.
There's no question the pattern to consumer spending is downward, but it's very hard to guess how weak it's going to be from here, especially with energy prices falling sharply.
Deutsche Bank economist Joseph Lavogne, AAA, says the national average for regular gasoline has fallen to $2.50 a gallon. The decline in home prices continues. A report today says nearly 1 in 5 mortgage borrowers now owe more on their homes, more than their homes are worth. Studs Terkel died today at his home in Chicago. For decades, he chronicled the extraordinary lives of ordinary people in books and interviews. Russell Lewis is chief historian at the Chicago History Museum.
He was a great champion, I think, for looking into, you know, every aspect of American life, and believe strongly that this was a great country because we have great